Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
The program you have just enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick. A political bombshell from a man who once ran for the White House. John Edwards has admitted to an extramarital affair back in 2006. He has denied fathering a child. CBS News correspondent Sam Litzinger has details.
In a statement, the former presidential contender says he made a serious error in judgment and conducted himself in a way that was disloyal to his family and his core beliefs. Edwards says he told his wife about what he calls a liaison with another woman and asked for her forgiveness. He says in the course of several campaigns, he began to believe he was special and became increasingly egocentric and narcissistic, and says, if you want to beat me up, feel free. He also says he won't have anything more to say about this. Sam Litzinger, CBS News, Washington.
Senior political correspondent Jeff Greenfield has been gathering reaction.
There are some very angry people out there. Who publicly said, like former Congressman David Bonnier, who was a key supporter of Edwards, they feel let down. They feel disappointed is a very mild word.
A dangerous standoff between Russia and the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, where Georgian troops moved into the breakaway province of South Ossetia. The Russians responded with tanks and may have bombed Georgian air bases from above. Political scientist Kimberly Martin of Columbia University.
Georgia has been saying for quite some time that it wanted to reassert its control over this breakaway region. There are what are called Russian peacekeepers on the ground in South Ossetia, but everyone knows that they're really just representatives of the Russian military.
Many Russians live in that province. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Zalmay Khalilzad.
What has been happening in the past days in Georgia clearly poses a threat to international peace and security. For these reasons, the United States calls for an immediate cessation of hostilities by all parties to avert further risk of escalation.
There have been hundreds of deaths reported. Opening ceremonies for the Olympic Games in Beijing, accompanied by fireworks. And a very proud home audience.
I think it's gorgeous. I like it very much.
Are you proud of China?
Yes. I'm very proud to be a Chinese.
Triple gold medalist Li Ning, China's first Olympic superstar, lit the Olympic flame. The death toll has been raised to 14 in that Texas bus crash overnight. The chartered bus was carrying a Catholic group to a religious festival when it went off a highway. More than 40 people were injured. A banner day for stocks, the Dow finishing up more than 300 points.
The real catalyst was oil falling precipitously. And that gave investors some hope that maybe the worst is over in terms of higher fuel prices hurting the economy.
Stock analyst Eugene Peroni, oil prices closed at just about $115 a barrel, but dipped even lower than that at one point during the day. This is CBS News.
Despite the current economy, you can still drive a safe, luxurious, well-engineered car. Because right now, Mercedes-Benz is having a certified pre-owned sales event with deals as low as 1.99% APR on select CPO vehicles that have undergone a rigorous 155-point inspection. So you know you're getting a true 100% Mercedes-Benz at a price you can afford. See your authorized dealer today for certified affordability. But hurry, our CPO sales event ends soon. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
1.99% APR for 36 months at $2,864 per month for $1,000 financed on 2005 and 2006 E-Class vehicles. Excludes lease and balloon contracts subject to credit approval. For qualified customers only through Mercedes-Benz Financial at participating dealers through September 30, 2008. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles. See dealer for complete program and pre-owned limited warranty details.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Check out our exciting model lineup by visiting your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer or visit us today at mbusa.com.
There were more than just Olympic ceremonies in Beijing today, as Celia Hatton reports.
It's not just the opening day of the Olympics for these Beijing couples, it's their wedding day as well. 16,400 people have reserved a spot to tie the knot in China's capital on August 8, 2008. There are only so many Olympics, so this is a very memorable day for us, says this newlywed. It's also thought to be a very lucky day on the Chinese lunar calendar. 8 rhymes with the Chinese word for wealth. For these lovebirds, the excitement surrounding the Olympics is just an added bonus. Celia Hatton, CBS News, Beijing.
The former governor of New Jersey, who resigned after announcing he was gay, will not have to pay alimony to his wife. A judge ruled today James McGreevy will have to pay child support. Here's something to set the mood. Incense made from moose droppings. Jerry Black of Montana says it has a woodsy scent. He collects the moose droppings himself, sells it for about $9 a bag. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
This month, take a drive to Sears and get your car ready for the rest of those summer road trips at the Sears National Automotive Sale. Now through August 30th, come into the Sears Auto Center, where all Goodyear and Michelin tires are on sale. Plus, buy a set of 4 Goodyear tires and get $20, $40, or $50 cash back after mail-in rebate. Or buy a set of 4 Michelin tires and get free installation after mail-in rebate. That's a $56 value. So come into the Sears Auto Center and live like it's summer. Sears.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer valid 8308 to 830.
How to swim in money. Step 1. Go directly to the Home Depot, now through August 20th, and get 10% off all appliances of $3.99 or more, including an Energy Star qualified washing machine. Step 2. Wash your clothes. Not only will you smell better, you'll cut energy costs up to $80 a year and save enough water to fill 3 swimming pools. Step 3. Do a cannonball to celebrate.
The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, beaming your way from San Francisco, up and down the left coast, from Big Sur all the way to Seattle. And I'm glad you're listening. And today we broadcast all the way into Montana, too, in Billings and Missoula, wherever you happen to be. I'm glad you're listening. Lots to talk about, and we'll get right down to business in a moment with a live report from the Mediterranean, the Free Gaza movement, sailing across the sea there to challenge the Israeli blockade. Journalist Robert Perry will join us in just a couple of minutes. John Edwards has admitted the affair that the tabloids have been charging him with. We'll also talk about the Hamdan case, a show trial with a bit of a surprise sentence, and how the media is helping John McCain. Congresswoman Barbara Lee will be with us later this hour to report on the International AIDS Conference she just attended in Mexico City. Also on today's program, Brian Katulis from the Center for American Progress will talk about that war that's broken out in the Republic of Georgia, the breakaway group in Ossetia, and find out how the U.S. war in Iraq has affected that. That's hard by the borders of Iraq and Turkey and the former Soviet Union. Also on today's program, Antonia Juhas. Her new book is called The Tyranny of Oil, and we'll talk about the argument that Iraq should pay for the reconstruction, for the havoc that we wreaked or wrecked. And as usual, our Election Protection Hour, Brad Friedman will join us in hour number 3 today from bradblog.com. Now we go live to the Mediterranean Sea and talk with Dr. Paul Larruti from the Free Gaza Movement. As you have heard on our program, they have a very interesting summer sea cruise. 2 sailing ships are headed for Gaza, and they are challenging Israel's control of that territory. Paul, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. It may not be everyone's idea of a Mediterranean cruise, but actually, from the music that you hear in the background, there are some resemblances.
Well, tell us why.
Because we have 2 boats, as you know from before,
mm-hmm.
and one of them needed some mechanical and structural work, so it pulled in here to get that work done.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, however, is on its way to Crete, where it will open a press conference tomorrow evening,
mm-hmm.
That's tomorrow evening our time, which is would be Saturday morning yours.
Right.
And it did its first broadcast using the satellite uplink system to send video and internet messages. So mm-hmm. that's kind of a victory for us. And we sent the very first pictures of the boats to our passengers who are waiting for us patiently or impatiently in Cyprus.
Okay. So Crete to Cyprus, and then you're probably not going to announce your explicit itinerary, but we know that your destination is Gaza.
That's right. Well, there's not much to announce between Cyprus and Gaza. It's basically a straight shot.
Right, yeah. And how long do you think it'll take from Cyprus to Gaza? What's your estimated travel time?
Well, we're pretty sure it'll take just about 2 days,
uh-huh.
and we're planning to get in there so that we arrive during daylight hours.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, tell us about some of the people who will be boarding these ships from Cyprus to Gaza. What is your contingent? Who's included?
Well, I'll mention three of them first off. One is Hawaida Arraf. She's a Palestinian-American married to a Jewish-American, Adam Shapiro. The two of them are among the founders of the International Solidarity Movement, a movement that also does nonviolent resistance work in Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
And she and two others of our passengers are on their way to Crete in order to participate in the press conference where we unveil the boats, basically, where everyone can take pictures and we can all see what they look like and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other two passengers are also interesting because one of them is Jeff Halper. I don't remember whether I mentioned him before. But
well, Jeff was on our program a couple of months ago when he was stateside.
Right. Yes.
And he's the leader of the he's a Jewish-American, and he's a leader of the Israelis who oppose expanding settlements.
Right, the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions.
Mm-hmm.
He has basically defied the unofficial announcement that Israelis who participate with us may be tried for treason and sentenced up to 20 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks they're bluffing, and even if they're not, he's going to test it.
Well, good for him. He's a courageous man.
And the third one is the sister-in-law of Tony Blair, who is absolutely unremitting in her criticism of Blair's policy in the Middle East, and a strong supporter of the Palestinians. So she's also going to be participating.
Well, great. Well, Paul, I want to thank you for this report. We'll be off over the weekend, but we'll check back with you on Monday. And people can follow your progress at freegaza.org. The website has updates on this international adventure, if you will. And that's
actually, we've been sabotaged, and it's down for a while, but it'll be back up very soon.
Okay. Well, when it is, go to freegaza.org, and Paul, we'll talk to you again on Monday.
Thanks, Peter.
Okay.
Talk to you then.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
That's Dr. Paul LaRudy, and as we mentioned, he is with the contingent sailing from Cyprus to Gaza over the next week or so, and it's going to be a very interesting proceeding, no doubt about it. Robert Perry joins us now, journalist and reporter and author. He publishes at consortiumnews.com. His most recent book, Neck Deep, The Disastrous Presidency of George W. Bush. Bob, how are you today?
Good, Peter. How are you?
Just fine. Glad you can join us. And I wanted to start off, I have been aware of the charges about John Edwards, and also Huffington Post has done a pretty good job, without going total tabloid, in reporting the bizarre incident at the Beverly Hilton Hotel about 2 weeks ago, the Beverly Hills Hotel, I'm sorry. And now he's gone public and admitted that he had an affair with this former campaign worker. And we're learning, too, that this woman, whose name is Riel Hunter, also produced videos and earned about $100,000 to $150,000 from various campaign committees of the former presidential candidate. I guess he's done.
Well, I think he was sort of at least done as a presidential candidate before this, but it is always sad to see these kinds of personal issues being dragged out into public view. I remember when I was at Newsweek back in 1987 when this turn began where the press became more and more tabloid. I just finished doing the Iran-Contra scandal and the hearings that happened, and and Newsweek really sort of hated the Iran-Contra story. It was kind of complicated, had a lot of significant details. They sort of sent me off to Los Angeles over Christmas of 87 to, because they thought that Gary Hart, who had been a candidate for president, had bowed out because of a sex scandal he was involved in, and then got back in briefly, mostly to collect money from the Federal Election Commission. But I was sent out there to sort of hunt around to see if he was using cocaine, which was what the Newsweek's editors had kind of decided. And it was a moment when I started seeing a real change in the way what we used to call the serious press would start dealing with politics. We became very tabloid, and it was one of the points when I really began to question the direction of investigative journalism, and now we see the National Enquirer and other tabloid news organizations leading the way and finding out whether this former presidential candidate was having an affair with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Gary Hart served it up. He dared the media. Then he went on the monkey business with Donna Rice. I mean,
well, that wasn't quite the chronology, but yes, the monkey business happened earlier, and then he did sort of throw down a challenge about following him around. But
right.
You know, what can you say? I mean, guys will be guys, I suppose. But
And what about the coverage of this? It's interesting because, as I mentioned, Huffington Post has been all over this incident at the hotel in Beverly Hills. I was just kind of waiting. I didn't feel it was my job to break another tabloid story. I knew it would surface at some point. But it took about 2 weeks, and frankly, given the lack of restraint on so many other fronts, I'm surprised it took that long.
Well, I think, you know, there still is some resistance in some parts of the media to go in this direction. But it's becoming it's been fairly dominant for some time. We certainly saw it in the 90s around Bill Clinton, and we've seen it around many other politicians. It's a way to attract viewers, and so people do like it. But I think there's still a desire to have some kind of hard, reliable information, not just rumor, at least as far as much of the media is concerned.
Yeah. Well, and his admission will allow the paparazzi and the reporters to stop going through his dumpsters, so we can be relieved by that.
Yes.
Bob, we're up against a break, so let me take that, and I want to return and get your thoughts on the Hamdan case and also a piece that you published at Consortium News this week about how the media is helping John McCain. We'll continue in a moment with Robert Perry. Visit ConsortiumNews.com, and you can read his work and that of others, too. We'll take a break and return in just a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ah!
Ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th. Buy your tickets online and save big. MontereyCountyFair.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. A Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
We've got a change of the guard underway here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Joshua Emerson Smith has been with us this summer, and he's departing for Valdez, Alaska, where he'll join the public radio station there. We wish Josh all the best. And Nick Tanum is stepping in, DJ Nick, and he's learned the ropes here today. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. We continue with Robert Parry, P-A-R-R-Y. It's not Perry. Parry, and he publishes at consortiumnews.com. And Bob, in your article about the Hamdan trial, the military tribunal, or we should call it actually, a commission at Guantanamo Bay, you wrote, in effect, a parallel legal system has been created outside the U.S. Constitution, and in which the president can order someone locked up indefinitely simply by calling the person an enemy combatant and then subjecting the person to what amounts to a star chamber proceeding that permits the use of secret evidence and coerced testimony. Now, that occurred in the Hamdan trial, and it was a split decision. He was found innocent, or at least not guilty, of the conspiracy charges, and really just a codged-up prosecution for his associations with Osama bin Laden as his driver. And it's interesting that the five men and one woman on the jury, all officers in our military, found the case pretty weak and explicitly sentenced him to serve just about five more months. Now, that doesn't mean he'll be released, but it means that he will have completed the sentence handed down by this tribunal.
Right, and it does suggest that even within this sort of rigged tribunal system, Americans in the military here, you know, have provided certain amount of safeguards. They basically said, we're not going to let this guy be totally railroaded. But the point still is that the process is one designed to railroad people. And the other part of this is even though they found Hamdan to be a very, very small fish and one who merits only another 5 months or so of incarceration after over 5 years of incarceration so far, that he still can be left incarcerated. It's kind of a tails I win, heads you lose arrangement where if George Bush decides he can keep this person imprisoned for at least the length of Bush's presidency, and presumably his successor, if he wishes to, can continue it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a rigged system in that sense too. And and I think one of the other points that the piece tries to make is that we now know that this is not just for foreigners anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not just for people that engage in combat against the United States.
It could have been me.
Well, probably not, Peter, but I mean, theoretically it could be. I mean, if someone were to say, well, Peter B. Collins is a propagandist for the enemy, because there is fine print inside the Military Commissions Act that seems to address directly at American citizens, which has been widely ignored, but mm-hmm. it refers to people who violate their allegiance to the United States in aiding America's enemies. I don't know who that's supposed to be about except American citizens.
Right.
So, we have in there now the basis for assuming that that Bush's concepts of presidential power go forward. We at some point could have this kind of thing applied to U.S. citizens and people who are just seen as nonviolent supporters of terrorists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I do think we're seeing in the Almari case, he was not a citizen, but a legal U.S. resident who was picked up in Peoria, Illinois, still in a Navy brig, still not charged, still indefinitely held. And that could happen to an American citizen. It hasn't happened yet, but that doesn't mean that it won't.
Well, actually, it has happened yet because of Jose Padilla's case.
Correct. I'm sorry, yeah.
Although he was ultimately then moved over to a civilian, to a normal court. But he was held for a number of years as an enemy combatant. He was a U.S. citizen. He was not involved in combat. He was picked up in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been precedents already set. Now, the courts are very much mixed, as you know, with the Supreme Court at this point 5-4 in favor of not granting the president this unlimited authority. But one more change on the Supreme Court could change that. And we saw with the U.S. Appeals Court in Richmond in the Almari case, that the majority there agreed to grant Bush extraordinary powers. And that's where one of the Democratic judges spoke up and said, these powers you're giving the president could be used against American citizens.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bob, another piece that you posted is about the media and the treatment of John McCain and Barack Obama in this past week. And just on the energy policy issues alone and this use of the tire gauge as a tire pressure gauge as a campaign icon, was an interesting example of the politics of distraction. Because what Obama offered was a pretty thoughtful and easy to understand comparison, that if we just inflated our tires properly and tuned our cars, we would save more oil than we could possibly drill on the outer continental shelf and even including ANWR. And it was a very potent argument, I thought, but it was reduced to gibberish by the Republicans who just picked on the tire pressure issue and made it sound like that was his entire energy policy. Now, do you feel that the Obama campaign is pushing back hard enough as the McCain campaign's attempts to trivialize its positions and distract from the real issues?
Well, I'm not sure they are pushing back hard enough, although I'm not quite sure entirely what they can do with the media we have. Obama did give almost an hour-long speech relating to energy policy. He was thoughtful. It had a lot of details to it. He did what often people criticize him for not doing. He actually provided a lot of substance. And McCain responded with his own speech that same day. I was watching NBC's Nightly News, and Brian Williams gave it all 30 seconds. And he didn't even offer any substance in those 30 seconds. It was all kind of the politics of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're dealing with that kind of a media, and I'm afraid that's what we've got, it is very difficult, I think, to try to raise the level of debate to be substantive and deal with important issues. And no question, energy is something Americans care a lot about. It's not like some esoteric issue. This is something that people feel and see every day.
And, Bob, just about 30 seconds remaining, you also touch on Dana Milbank, the snarky columnist from The Washington Post. And I agree with your comments there. And also it was interesting to see Keith Olbermann slap him around as he switched networks this week.
Well, it is interesting because there was that quote which basically said that Obama saw himself as a symbol for all that was good. It was completely reversed from what Obama had said in this private meeting with Democrats. The Washington Post has still not corrected it. It's still being used by the Republicans and others to attack Obama, but it's not true.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Bob. Always great to talk with you, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Thank you, Peter.
That's Robert Perry from ConsortiumNews.com. Coming up next, Congresswoman Barbara Lee, a Democrat from Oakland, talks about the AIDS conference in Mexico City.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Walgreens, the pharmacy America has trusted since 1901. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. T-shirts nowadays fulfill more than one basic human need. They aren't just something to wear. They're something that you read. If you laugh at certain messages, today's T-shirts impart, but others contain wisdom we can really take to heart. I saw one just the other day with words that would entrance. Work never killed anyone, it read. But why take the chance? A joke, you say? That's what I thought at first sight. Now a British study says that T-shirt may be right. The story after this. Whatever your plans for the summer, whether you're picnicking at the park, heading to the beach, or flying across the country, you can get easy prescription refill service at any Walgreens. Walgreens has thousands of locations nationwide. Many of them are open 24 hours a day. And because all their pharmacies are connected, you'll find convenient prescription service at any location. That means any Walgreens you visit is your Walgreens. To find the one nearest you, just call 1-800-WALGREENS today.
If you ride a motorcycle, you might be thinking, oi, GEICO customers seem to be having a lot of fun and saving money on their car insurance. But what about us bikers? Why can't we save money? This makes us angry. Let's form a biker gang and go and tell them what for. Oi, hold on, just call it. GEICO insures all sorts of motorcycles like cruisers, street, sport, touring and high-performance bikes. So they're on it. Now let's have a little smile.
Now GEICO offers insurance on all the stuff that moves you, including motorcycles. Call 1-800-44-CYCLE or visit GEICO.com.
A long-running study involving more than 10,000 British civil servants has found that work really can kill you. It's the strongest evidence yet that on-the-job stress raises the risk of heart disease by disrupting the body's internal systems, and that stress-induced biological changes may play a more direct role in developing conditions that lead to strokes and heart attacks than anybody thought. Tarani Chandola, an epidemiologist at University College London, conducted this study and had teams of researchers measure stress at work by asking questions about job demands and pressures and frustrations, how much control they have at work, how often they take breaks. All this over a 12-year period. The people who reported being under severe pressure in the early years of the survey turned out to have a 68% higher risk of developing heart disease. And people under 50, the link was the strongest. This is convincing evidence, they say, that the work stress coronary association is causal in nature. And since heart disease is the leading cause of death in the world, it raises serious doubts about the proposition that work never killed anyone. And the T-shirt question of why take a chance is not as far-fetched as we might think. So when you read a T-shirt, laugh as well you might. But research really does suggest that T-shirt may be right. The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s are available at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Frutti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood pasta and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Frutti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Frutti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to fruttidimargrill.com or call 384-8525.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Love.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour.
Everybody, we're most deep in me. No more backward thinking, just thinking ahead. The world has changed so very the way it used to. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
That's my man Keb Moe, straight out of Compton.
Pick up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Read it and then listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up in the world is than you. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better.
This week, a conference on AIDS was held in Mexico City. And Democratic Congresswoman Barbara Lee from Oakland, Barbara Lee does vote for me 99% of the time, was there in attendance. And there are some alarming developments in looking at AIDS statistics and infections and the HIV problem around the world, and in particular here in the United States. And so as we stand by to hear from Congresswoman Lee, we expect to talk with her about this conference and about what's being done to address AIDS issues internationally as well as here in the United States. And while we're waiting, I want to take a moment here to thank a number of people who have responded to a request from yours truly. We're going to be bringing you special live coverage of the Democratic National Convention the final week of August from Denver, Colorado, and it's expensive. And instead of going for a corporate sponsor or something like that where we might feel a little compromised or feel that somebody's trying to purchase our attention, I've reached out to listeners of the Peter B. Collins Show to serve as underwriters for this special event. And yesterday I had a chance to stop by my post office box, and I was floored because there was a stack of mail there with checks for $25, $50, and there was one large check that came in from Larry and Janet in Costa Rica. Larry called in recently, but he's been listening online and emailing me for years, and I was just really touched by their contribution and their generosity. Also, Ed Manning of Aptos, a long-term listener of the Peter B. Collins Show, going back to our launch 3 years ago in Monterey, Salinas area. Also, Claudia Giuliani, hopefully not related to Rudy. She's in Mill Valley and sent a check. Thank you very much, Claudia. Dennis Hostetter in Santa Cruz, no note, just a check. Thank you, sir. Holly Klingel in Eureka, and Doris Reed in San Francisco, all helping out with our special coverage coming up of the Democratic National Convention in Denver, Colorado. And we'll be there live on Radio Row each day, bringing you the sights, the sounds, and the developments at the convention. So, again, I thank you, and if you're in a position to help, no strong arm, and nobody's going to knock on your door. You can go to my website at peterbcollins.com. Just click on the link that says you can help, and you can use PayPal or snail mail, whichever you prefer, and there's a way for you to qualify for a tax deduction for your contribution, too, if that suits your tax planning and your financial position. And if you don't use computers, well, I understand that. Not everybody does. You can send it directly to my post office box, and that is P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. And as we look around the globe at AIDS and HIV issues, Friday's New York Times, reporting from the conference in Mexico City, cites some problems recently in Zimbabwe. Now, you may recall there was a contested election there, what I believe was a stolen election, Robert Mugabe's thugs went out, beat people up, committed rape as a political act, and there are 53 cases of rape, including a 13-year-old girl, during this period of disturbance in Zimbabwe. Betty McConey, director of Girl Child Network in Zimbabwe, is quoted here, "Rape is being used as a weapon of political intimidation to instill fear in us, our families, and communities. Youth militias have raped an estimated 800 girls." Wow. This is, it's sad and sick. And while it's hard to parse these things and say, gosh, well, one is so much worse than the other, rape is obviously a violation of human rights of the most fundamental order. And yet when rape is used in a part of the world where HIV is prevalent, then it goes from being a violation that is survivable to being one that is potentially fatal. And so these are some of the very challenging, vexing, difficult issues that were undertaken there, or at least addressed, at the 17th International AIDS Conference. And that's where Barbara Lee attended, and we're working hard to get her on the phone right now and see if we can get her report from that scene. And one of the pieces of analysis that has recently surfaced is that if you took the population of African Americans who have HIV or AIDS and totaled them up, that population would rank 16th worldwide in the number of people infected. And it's just one way to look at it and understand the dimensions. And here in San Francisco, we're quite familiar with HIV/AIDS in the largely white gay male population. And because of medical breakthroughs, the pharmaceutical regimens, the cocktails of drugs that are available now, many people in the developed world and in wealthier communities can survive a diagnosis of HIV, even HIV positive. And we're seeing people living with AIDS for 10, 15, 20 years. I have a friend, a woman, who is HIV positive and has lived with it, I believe, for 19 or 20 years now. And I find that quite gratifying. And if you listen to this program often, you know I rarely say good things about George W. Bush. But his recognition of the AIDS problems worldwide, and in particular his focus on funding for African nations, is one of the few things I can single out as a positive of this president and this administration. And so I think that what Congresswoman Lee has been working to do is to take the president's initiative and use it in a more effective way and make sure that it's properly funded. And Congresswoman Lee has just dialed into the program, so we'll get her on the air here right now and get her report from the conference in Mexico City this week. 18 minutes in front of the hour, Congresswoman Barbara Lee. Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello. Good to be with you.
Nice to talk with you, Barbara. And give us your sense of what occurred in Mexico City at the 17th International AIDS Conference, what you found to be positive and encouraging.
Yeah, I think it was quite a defining moment for the entire world, especially the United States. I think one of the very powerful outcomes of this conference is that finally we have the entire world looking at what's going on in our own country. And when you look at the new Center for Disease Control numbers in terms of the undercount in the African-American and Latino community, when you look at the Minority AIDS Institute showing that the black community compared to other countries would be, I think, number 16, infant mortality rate higher than in Cuba,
right. There
were many of these results presented, and I was very proud of the fact that I was able to co-chair a session, and we had many, many people there from around the world talking about how we develop an approach, really a domestic PEPFAR for the United States and a national AIDS plan and a national AIDS strategy.
And what did you learn at the conference that was discouraging or challenging that, you know, made you say, we got to work harder on this?
Well, I learned that, you know, infection rates in some parts of the world have leveled off, but they're still climbing in other parts of the world. Also, the treatment through PEPFAR, we've treated millions and millions of people, which has saved millions of lives. And I think that was very encouraging for me. We also learned that, you know, issues around women, which I've been working on, you know, in this PEPFAR bill, we were able to finally repeal this abstinence-only provision, that women still face, you know, extreme violence in terms of domestic violence. They need to have empowerment initiatives, women's health initiatives. We need to end the global gag rule. And so there were many recommendations that we received that would make our response stronger and more robust. And so we, you know, I think received a lot of information about what's working and what is not working.
Barbara Lee, as we were waiting for you to call in, I was recapping that one of the few good things I can say about Bush and his administration is PEPFAR, the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. He's shown an awareness on this issue that I don't see on many other critical issues.
Well, absolutely. Let me say that I was very pleased that myself, the Congressional Black Caucus, right after he was elected, we held a meeting with him and educated the president on the disproportionate numbers of infection rates in sub-Saharan Africa, the Caribbean, and in our own country. And we worked very hard to make sure that it was put on the top of his agenda. In fact, we wrote a letter to him before the State of the Union speech where he mentioned that he was going to mount this $15 billion effort. So this has been a bipartisan effort. And he's the president, and he signed both of the PEPFAR bills, as well as my Orphan and Vulnerable Children Act. So I think you're right. This is probably, for the most part, the only thing I can think of, really, that, you know, warrants really a commendation.
Right. I understand.
But believe you me, we have to work very hard with him to make sure this was handled in the appropriate fashion.
And PEPFAR stands for President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. Is this properly funded, in your opinion, Congresswoman?
Well, you know, we funded it to the tune of $48 billion this time. I think we need much more. But we also need much more here in America. We're calling for a PEPFAR initiative for the United States at a level of $1.3 billion. And we're calling for the Minority AIDS Initiative to come up to at least $600 million, which is still not enough. But, you know, if we didn't have this occupation of Iraq and these tax cuts, we'd be able to put our tax dollars into development assistance, health care, and, of course, a universal health care plan for all Americans, which, you know, because of the lack thereof creates these huge gaps in the health care system where you see African Americans and Latino falling through.
Mm-hmm.
And you see poverty and economic insecurity being part of the whole difficulties people face with HIV and AIDS.
And Barbara Lee, what do you see as the challenge we face with African-American HIV? Because I was commenting earlier that the gay white male community is living with HIV and AIDS much longer. It's not necessarily the death sentence that it once was. Yet we see that the rate of new infections is alarmingly high in the African-American community.
Yeah, it's very complicated. They're all types of theories, but I think one thing we have to recognize is that the CDC report showed that there's an extreme severe undercount, and so the resources have not been targeted to where the epidemic is the worst, and that's in the African-American community. When you look at issues such as testing, and I'm very proud of my mayor, Ron Dellum, he has mounted a testing initiative in Oakland. Our county, Alameda County, we were able to declare a state of emergency that I worked on very hard in 1999, which targeted more resources into communities of color where the pandemic here in America is the worst. But still, you have, you know, access to health care systems, to community clinics, to public health systems. You have, again, look at the unemployment rates in the black community. when you look at the huge disparities in the African-American community, when you look at poverty rates, how they've climbed under the Bush administration, you see a very complicated picture,
yeah.
which I think the Black AIDS Institute laid out in terms of looking at Black America as if it were a country. What would it look like? And we fall way down.
Right. Congresswoman, I need to take a break, and we'll return in just a moment. Barbara Lee, Democrat from Oakland, California, with us. And if you have a question or a comment, or you're living with AIDS or HIV and you'd like to share your story, give us a call now, toll-free. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
9 p.m. Saturdays, great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, small minds discuss people. Quantum minds find the relevance in all of God's creation. Join us with notable guests, Admiral Hyman G. Rickover, father of American nuclear navy, Albert Einstein, Robert John Kennedy, from the perspective of the quantum mind, The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Link, Saturday, 9 p.m. on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Folks, to know more about today's opportunity in gold, call 888-302-7111 for Lear's Complete Gold Investment Kit. It's free with no obligation. The investment kit will show you how easy gold is to buy and sell, even how to own gold in your IRA or retirement account. And be sure to look for our top recommendations. Call 888-302-7111 now, and you'll also get our latest CD titled Why Gold Has Never Been Worth Zero, but Could Double in Price Again. That's a $29 value, absolutely free. Folks, for 5 years, gold investments have been consistent winners, outperforming stocks by 500%, and experts say this bull market has just begun. Some expect gold to rise over $2,000 an ounce. Remember, in today's uncertain markets, gold is the only investment that has a 5,000-year history and has never been worth zero. Compare that to other alternatives in today's economy. Call 888-302-7111 today. The Gold Investment Kit, our top recommendations, and the CD Why Gold Has Never Been Worth Zero but Could Double in Price Again. Materials are free, but supplies are limited. Call 888-302-7111 now.
Show with Congresswoman Barbara Lee, Democrat from Oakland. She's just returned from Mexico City, the scene of the 17th Annual International AIDS Conference. And Barbara, a disconcerting story in Friday's New York Times.
Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Vaguely.
Okay, I'll turn it up a little bit here. We were getting a little feedback earlier. How's that? A little better?
Yes. Yeah,
okay, good. There was a news conference in Mexico City where an advocate for Zimbabwean women reported that more than 800 women and girls were raped in the recent electoral disturbances, if you will, the battle between Mugabe and his opponent. And when they were taken to hospital, they were refused treatment at government hospitals. And this is a really sad and tragic case, because rape alone is deeply offensive, but when you add the potential of an HIV infection, well, it could be a death sentence.
It's horrible, and it's tragic, and I tell you, women around the world have to deal with this in a very real way. And we have to mount a major response, an international response. We're working on a bill now, the International Violence Against Women Act, so that throughout the world where we have development assistance, where we have organizations working with women, we need to make sure that women are empowered and that they understand their rights and that we begin to protect them, because it's just, it's hard for me to even explain the outrage that I feel about this, and this is everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So women have to rise up, and we have a responsibility to support women's movements around the world. One thing that we need to do, and I talked a little bit about this in Mexico City, is we need to repeal the global gag rule, because we cannot fund organizations that will help women with their reproductive choices. If a woman decides that, if a woman gets pregnant by whatever means, if she wants to have an abortion,
mm-hmm.
if she has been raped and gets pregnant, she should be able to have an abortion. And we do not allow federal funding to counsel women in terms of all of their choices. So there's a lot we could do to help, but we have to help women throughout the world reduce violence. And this International Violence Against Women Act is called the International VAWA Act. I sponsored the state Violence Against Women Act when I was in the legislature. I think an international version of that will at least put our country on the right side of trying to help women fend off of these very ruthless crimes.
And Congresswoman, also there are cultural issues in certain African nations where men are under the mistaken impression that having sex with a child can actually cure them of HIV.
Sure, I've heard these stories. I've been to Africa many, many times, and I remember, oh boy, in South Africa several years ago, a woman who was HIV positive decided to come forward and talk about it, and she was stoned to death. And, there are many, many, many examples of the cultural issues and all of the stuff that women have to address. But we've got to do it. It's no way that women should be treated like this. There's no way that they should be violated and treated with violence like this. And their bodies should not be allowed to be misused like they are throughout
mm-hmm.
the world.
Yeah. And Barbara Lee, do you feel, based on this this conference and your experience there, is the American media no longer interested in HIV/AIDS?
Well, I think that has been a problem, if you ask me. I hope after this conference now and after the new CDC report that the media will focus on it a little bit. One thing that we did accomplish in this PEPFAR bill is I was able to get, along with Senator Kerry, the prohibition and the repeal of the travel ban so that we could begin to have international conferences here in the United States. Since 1990, we haven't allowed people living with the virus to come into the United States without jumping through quite a bit of hoops.
Yeah.
And so, consequently, we haven't had the opportunity to share information with scientists, medical professionals, NGOs, activists, people living with AIDS. And so this was a big deal in this PEPFAR bill, and all we have to do now is get the regulations to execute the repeal. But I worked on this since the Toronto conference, and so part of what hopefully we'll do is be able to have, which I have been pushing, an international AIDS conference here in America. And, of course, I want it in my district in Oakland. And I think that, if we can begin to work on that and focus on that, perhaps the media will pick up some of the very tragic things that are taking place in our country and support us in our push for a domestic national PEPFAR to fund it with billions of dollars.
Yeah, we certainly need that as part of a health care reform package as well. Congresswoman, just about 90 seconds remaining. I wanted to get your comment on one other issue we're discussing today, and that is Washington leaders, including Democrat Senator Carl Levin, have been pushing for Iraq to use some of its oil revenues to pay for reconstruction. And they seem to think that we can shift the responsibility for the damage that we caused to that country to the Iraqis just because oil revenues are up. New York Times Friday, time for Iraq to pay the bill. And frankly, I just think that this is immoral, that we blew up that country on a unilateral basis. And now we're suggesting that they ought to clean up our mess.
See, I agree with you, and I'm surprised that many of my colleagues who buy this. Yeah, we bombed, we invaded Iraq, we killed hundreds of thousands of people, we caused millions of refugees to live in other countries in poverty. We've created havoc in that country, and to suggest that now they have to be responsible for cleaning up the mess that we did, I think is wrong, and you're right, it's immoral, and it's almost as if we have forgotten what happened. This is revisionist history right in front of us, trying to create a solution.
Yeah. I mean, next
on some historical,
next are we going to ask him to pay the Blackwater bill, too? Thank you. Thank you very much, Congresswoman. I'm out of time. Barbara Lee, Democrat from Oakland, on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. John Edwards admits an affair.
I think pretty much his political career is over.
Fighting breaks out between Russia and Georgia.
It very much looks like the beginning of a big Caucasus war.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The rumors, fueled by stories in the National Enquirer, have been around for weeks. Now, former presidential candidate John Edwards admits he had an extramarital affair 2 years ago. The woman, Riel Hunter, is a videographer who worked for his campaign.
I think it's fair to say that John Edwards will not be making an appearance on the podium at the Democratic National Convention. The notion that he'd be seriously considered for a position in an Obama administration is probably yesterday's news.
CBS News senior political correspondent Jeff Greenfield. Director of political coverage Steve Chigaris says this shatters Edwards' public image.
This is a guy who campaigned alongside his wife, who was very sick with cancer, and I think garnered a lot of sympathy being married to her and saying that he was staying close to her during this troubled time, and now this comes out while she was basically sick.
Edwards says the affair occurred while his wife's cancer was in remission. Late today, CBS News chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer talked to Edwards and his wife.
She was obviously in tears. She did not say much, but she told me that he had, in fact, told her about it back in 2006, and they had decided to just move on.
Now this.
How to swim in money. Step 1. Go directly to the Home Depot, now through August 20th, and get 10% off all appliances of $399 or more, including an Energy Star qualified washing machine. Step 2. Wash your clothes. Not only will you smell better, you'll cut energy costs up to $80 a year and save enough water to fill 3 swimming pools. Step 3. Do a cannonball to celebrate.
The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more? Let the IRS veterans at Effector help stop levies and wage garnishment. We can help you get your life back in order. Our ex-IRS agents have over 100 years combined experience in IRS collection tactics. Get a free consultation and put our team of experts between you and the IRS. Call 800-536-9092. That's 800-536-9092. 800-536-9092.
A territorial dispute between Russia and Georgia has suddenly become a shooting war. Russian forces have moved into Georgia's breakaway South Ossetia region, and Georgia says a major Black Sea fort and a military base have been bombed. Reporter Diana Petriashvili is in South Ossetia's capital city, Shinvali.
a lot of people remain in Skin Valley. They are like they stay in the basements and are afraid to get out.
A Georgian official says the president will soon declare martial law.
I'm Mark Nola with the president in Beijing, where the White House is calling for an immediate ceasefire in Georgia. Press Secretary Dana Perino says the U.S. supports Georgia's territorial integrity and is calling on all sides to de-escalate the tension and avoid conflict. She says Secretary of State Rice and others are working on mediation efforts to secure a ceasefire.
Georgia says it's withdrawing the 2,000 troops it sent to Iraq. They're needed at home. The clouds that were over Wall Street yesterday lifted today. The Dow jumped 302 points to finish the week at 11,734.
The real catalyst was oil falling precipitously, and that gave investors some hope that maybe the worst is over in terms of higher fuel prices hurting the economy.
Eugene Ferroni of Advisors Asset Management. As the U.S. dollar strengthened against foreign currencies, the price of crude oil plunged nearly $5 to $115.20 a barrel, its lowest point since May 1st. Oil analyst Peter Butel says it's good news for drivers.
There's a very good chance that by Labor Day, we could see another 20 or maybe even 30 cents a gallon if this trend continues.
China pulls out all the stops. News correspondent Steve Futterman reports on the grand opening of the Summer Games.
For more than 3 hours, China put on an opening ceremony spectacular. It began with the playing of the Chinese national anthem. There was the Parade of Nations, and the home team got the biggest cheer. President Hu Jintao declared the games officially open. And at the very end, the great Chinese gymnast Li Ning, looking like he was flying through the air, lit the Olympic cauldron. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the Summer Olympics in Beijing.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Despite the current economy, you can still drive a safe, luxurious, well-engineered car. Because right now, Mercedes-Benz is having a certified pre-owned sales event with deals as low as 1.99% APR on select CPO vehicles that have undergone a rigorous 155-point inspection. So you know you're getting a true 100% Mercedes-Benz at a price you can afford. See your authorized dealer today for certified affordability. But hurry, our CPO sales event ends soon. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
1.99% APR for 36 months at $2864 per month for $1,000 financed on 2005 and 2006 E-Class vehicles. Excludes lease and balloon contracts subject to credit approval. For qualified customers only through Mercedes-Benz Financial participating dealers through September 30, 2008. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles. See dealer for complete program and pre-owned limited warranty details.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Check out our exciting model lineup by visiting your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer or visit us today at mbusa.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on later this hour. We'll examine the question, should Iraq pay for the damage that America did to Iraq? Antonia Yuhas will join us in half an hour. Joining me this half hour is Brian Katulis. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He focuses on national security, the Middle East, Iraq, Arab-Israeli conflict. Recently, he was in Pakistan, and he is the co-author of a new book called The Prosperity Agenda, just published this summer. Brian, welcome back to the show today.
Thanks for having me on the program, Peter.
There's too much to talk about.
Yes, there is. There's so much going on in the world.
Let's start with some breaking news, and for this purpose, I got out my old Rand McNally Cosmopolitan World Atlas with the latest Soviet changes. This one goes back about 8 years, and I'm identifying the area in the province, the Soviet Republic of Georgia, where hostilities have broken out, and there is an attempt to, for an ethnic group there to break away from the state of Georgia, and they are known as the Ossetians or Ossetians. How do we say that?
Ossetians, yes.
Ossetians. And what can you tell us about the origins of this conflict, and what side is the United States on?
Well, the U.S. first has come out calling on Russia to stop its aircraft and missile attacks in this breakaway region of the former Soviet Republic of Georgia. And I think that, you know, the origins go back pretty deeply. I mean, the Soviet Union, when it existed, controlled a great deal of territory, which was ethnically diverse, and this was one of these breakaway regions, which has been a festering problem that really hasn't been dealt with effectively. And today there was an exchange between both Russian and Georgian forces. Georgia launched a surprise military offensive to try to retake the area that Russia had taken over. And this has elicited, you know, an international response. And the U.S. has condemned Russia's actions here and called on it to show restraint.
Mm-hmm. And this is a critical area strategically for people who are driving. You can't look at a map, and I understand that. But Georgia is bound by the Black Sea on the west and by the Caspian Sea on the east. It is just north of the very eastern portion of Turkey. The very northeast portion portion of Iraq is just a few clicks down. And then the northwest corner of Iran also borders on the area there in near the state of Georgia. And what has been this area's role in the American invasion and occupation of Iraq?
Well, you know, It wasn't as prominent as was hoped, for instance, on the issue of Iraq, particularly given that Turkey in 2003 decided against allowing U.S. Forces to use its territory.
Yes, they turned down our billions.
Yeah. And that was, you know, I think a function of how unpopular the move was in Iraq. But it's a strategically important area of the world. I mean, energy supply resources, particularly those that go to Eastern Western Europe, depend on stability in this part of the world. It's a link between East versus West, and frankly, though it seems to have caught a lot of people off guard, we should have been paying a bit more attention to this, and now I think we're playing catch-up, as is often the case, I think, in many national security questions, and it's something to think about when we think about a new president coming into office, that some things just come up unexpectedly. You need to spend a good bit of time responding to it.
And, Brian, the neighbor there, Turkey, has been very active recently. Turkey was the subject of some internal domestic disturbances attributed to the PKK, that is the Kurdish separatist group that now controls the area from Mosul north in Iraq. And Turkey has been rather freely launching military strikes, including ground troops, into this Kurdish-occupied territory of northern Iraq. And do you have any concerns that this is kind of starting off into a separate conflict of its own without really any control by the United States?
Well, yeah, I've had concerns about that for a long time, and many of the things that I've written on my analysis on Iraq, that we've been focused on only a handful of the many conflicts that exist inside of Iraq and have potential to spill over Iraq's borders and have actually, in fact, already spilled over Iraq's borders. The Arab-Kurdish tensions, in particular in northern Iraq, are something simply that we haven't paid enough attention to. Last Monday, nearly 50 people were killed in attacks both in Baghdad but also in the northern city of Kirkuk, mm-hmm. which has been a disputed territory. Many angry Iraqi Kurds attacked the headquarters of Turkmen parties, and the Turkmens of Iraq have closer ties to Turkey. And I know this may sound Byzantine and arcane to a lot of people, but many of the internal conflicts to Iraq resonate beyond its borders and into places like Turkey. And frankly, we just don't have enough troops to deal with the potential outbreak of conflict there. We can't separate the parties here, and that puts a stress on the things that we need to do diplomatically and politically to talk about resolving some of these disputes, for instance, over the status of the city of Kirkuk.
Well, and this is another example, Brian, that flies in the face of the administration's assertions that are unfortunately just repeated without question by the media, that the surge has worked. And certainly fewer Americans are dying, and everyone is pleased about that. And no one, you know, wants Bush to lose politically at the cost of more American lives, or Iraqi lives for that matter. But the situation is still quite volatile, and the purpose of the surge was to give the different factions in Iraq the breathing space to find some sort of common ground and political reconciliation. But just in the battle over local and regional elections and who controls the northern portion of Iraq, including Kirkuk, this is a very explosive issue that has not been resolved, and I don't believe anyone can claim the surge has worked without the kind of political advances that were expected and have not occurred.
Absolutely. I mean, beneath this triumphant veneer that the surge has worked are some ugly realities. Number one, that part of the reason why violence is down is that there was tremendous sectarian and ethnic cleansing, particularly in the capital city of Baghdad. There's a reason why there are more than 2.5 million Iraqis living outside the country, and almost an equal number who are displaced inside the country, and it's because there were massive campaigns of ethnic and sectarian cleansing that were conducted, even while we were increasing our troop numbers to such large levels. And then your point is spot on, that many of the issues that divided Iraq and its political factions, the status of Kirkuk, how to share power between the Shiites and the Sunnis, how to share oil revenue money, which frankly is tremendously a lot more than it was, say, a year ago because of the high price of oil and gas.
Right.
All of these issues remain fundamentally unresolved. And, you know, the one good thing about the surge certainly is that violence is down, but you can't attribute that simply to the introduction of just 30,000 U.S. troops. It helped the situation. We've got the finest military in the world, which didn't surprise people, but it didn't achieve its fundamental objective, as you note, which was to get Iraq's leaders to take greater responsibility and to strike the power-sharing deals that are necessary to stabilize their country.
Now, Brian, you don't strike me as a hothead, but I'll just say that I get infuriated when I hear these media pundits just flatly say the surge worked and why won't Obama admit it? And his answer is correct. He says, well, our troops did well, and that was a contributing factor, but we haven't resolved these other issues. And it's this effort to reduce it to a simple black-and-white question, and it's so much more complex than that, and our media does us a disservice and aids the McCain campaign when they, you know, just flatly say, oh, the surge has worked, and Obama just can't admit it because he was against it.
Absolutely. And the other thing they don't talk about are the opportunity costs in terms of our national security. Had we had those assets available to, for instance, finish the mission left unaccomplished in Afghanistan or other key national security challenges, or frankly, the resources in terms of our National Guard here at home or some of the financial resources, which a lot of people are talking about in terms of why are we spending so much of our money, $10, $12 billion a month, in Iraq when Iraq, it appears, now has a surplus of more than $75 billion. So all of these things point to a failure in leadership on the part of the administration in terms of how do we actually match our resources to meet the threats that are out there.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brian,
deeply concerned about the status status of the situation inside of Pakistan and its impact on the situation in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I want to get to Pakistan and Afghanistan in a moment, but I just want to come back to what you were saying there about the Iraqis. Yes, you know, they have started to generate some oil revenues, and there is a little bit of a surplus there. But I think it's unconscionable for the U.S. now to try to shift our obligations after we ripped that country up, tore it up with thousands of bombs and used depleted uranium, displaced the population, and we have failed in our efforts at reconstruction, and yet we want to walk away and stick the Iraqis with that. And I'm not comfortable with that.
Well, I share your discomfort there, and you know it's an issue that we address in this new book we put out, the Prosperity Agenda, where we talk about we do have a responsibility and an obligation. I tend to think that it's not simply just financial, that there are a lot of things that we could do to help the Iraqis stand up on their own that aren't simply in the economic and military realm. There are a number of obligations we haven't fulfilled, for instance, with the Iraqi refugees. And in particular, this is something I feel very deeply personal about, because when I worked in Iraq, we had Iraqis who were targeted simply because they were working with us in a non-governmental organization. We have not fulfilled our obligation in terms of those Iraqis who are now in danger. Their lives are in danger because they work with us. And it's a pittance in terms of how many Iraqi individuals we've allowed into this country and granted asylum. And there are a whole range of issues. So I completely agree with the overall thrust of that. But I do think that we do also need to hold Iraq's leaders a bit more responsible for maintaining some of the public works projects and using some of their own resources, which are widely available, to help their own people. I mean, I think we need to do a better job, and they do too.
Brian Katulis with us from the Center for American Progress. We'll continue in a moment. I want to talk about Afghanistan, about Pakistan, and also about Iran. A naval blockade could be building there. We'll get his comments coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th. Buy your tickets online and save big. MontereyCountyFair.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Friar Tuck's Restaurant in Carmel, corner of 5th and Dolores and next to the post office, serves outstanding breakfast and lunch from 7 a.m. Get a full 20% off coupon at FriarTucksRestaurant.com. Come in early for the largest breakfast served in Carmel. Stay late and enjoy the best root beer float I ever had. Thank you, Friar Tuck's, for 30 years of family enjoyment. Friar Tuck's, great food, great fun.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Good afternoon. We'll start off Gilroy eastbound 152 after Lover's Lane. Big rig partially off the roadway and landed in a ditch. The trailer is on the roadway still in the eastbound. Lanes are blocked. CHP on the scene, presumably doing some traffic control. Expect big time delays. Salina Spence Road at Old Stage Road, an injury crash with two cars. That's blocking some lanes. Emergency crews on the way. Gonzales Johnson Canyon Road at Iverson Road. We have an injury crash with a motorcycle down. Monterey northbound 1 before 218. Reports of a stall blocking one of the lanes. Also 156 at Monte Del Lago, Castroville. We have a large piece of tire. That's between the lanes there. This is brought to you by the California Lottery. Get ready for a summer of winning by five or more Super Lotto Plus or Mega Millions plays and enter into a bonus draw where 888 players will win $800. Hurry, this offer ends August 16th. If you're out and about and you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Brian Katulis. He's from the Center for American Progress. And together with his colleague, he published Redeployment 2.0. What's that, about 2 years ago now, Brian?
Yeah, and we put out an update of that last year.
That's Larry Korb I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, we called that Strategic Reset. We were going to call the report Control-Alt-Delete in terms of what we need to do in terms of our Middle East policy to hit the reset button completely.
Well, there is now a date for our departure, mostly set by the Iraqis, and it's consistent with the proposal of Barack Obama, and the administration is acquiescing to it. But John McCain, he's kind of left out there hanging, isn't he?
Absolutely. And you know, people should remember that it was progressives who were pushing for some sort of timeline for withdrawal before it was terribly popular here in the U.S. I mean, this is going back 2004, 2005, and they've led the way on this. And I think it was in part because they were more in touch with where Iraqi dynamics were. We were not popular with the broader Iraqi population,
mm-hmm.
and we still aren't. I mean, I think many Iraqis are divided about our presence, but most of them want control of their country. They mm-hmm. want to reassert the authority over their own affairs. And it seems like and at some point in the next few days, we're going to have some form of status of forces agreement between the U.S. and Iraq that will have at least the outline of a timeline for U.S. withdrawal.
Yeah, probably be a love seat, not a full sofa. Brian, turning to another important flashpoint, I understand from some of my sources that a third carrier group is now being deployed to the Persian Gulf. What's your current assessment of the risk of a military assault by the U.S. or Israel against Iran in the coming months?
I think, you know, there's always a risk when you've got a U.S. administration with Dick Cheney as its vice president. And there are some concerns given that Israel had conducted some exercises in the Mediterranean in June, which indicated that they might be planning for some sort of strike against Iran.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to think, and this is my own assessment, that it's still quite unlikely for a whole host of reasons that we'll see serious military action. I mean, the fact that we knew about these Israeli military exercises
mm-hmm.
Indicates that this is maybe part of a signaling operation as mm-hmm. opposed to trying to send signals and messages to Iran as opposed to a real strike. You know, when Israel perceives a threat to its own interests, it acts in the way that it did in Syria in mm-hmm. September of last year.
And Brian, your colleague and a guy who's a contributor to our show every week, Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress, on the Think Progress blog, he published an interview with Seymour Hersh, who talked about how Dick Cheney has considered a number of false flag operations to try to provoke a war with Iran. Does that concern you?
Yeah, that concerns me a good bit. But again, and this is why I stress Dick Cheney and any administration that has him in it, I would not discount the possibility. But the difference, though, I think now, as the Bush administration is moving to its final months in office, is that you have some pragmatists, particularly in the U.S. military, the professionals, the adults, who are saying, look, the last thing we need is to open up another front in the Middle East. We're still kind of deeply embroiled in Iraq, and it would actually endanger our troops to encourage some sort of military action against Iran. And then, more importantly, it actually wouldn't do much, quite likely would not do much to stop Iran's nuclear program because mm-hmm. of how they've hidden some of these assets and things like this. So it would be a situation and an option that would likely inflame tensions in an already tense Middle East. If you think the price of oil and gas was high a few weeks ago and finally started to drop, but if you think it was high then, it would skyrocket beyond control if we actually conducted these operations against Iran. And
I'm sorry, Brian, just less than a minute remaining, and I wanted to get a quick comment on Pakistan because two leaders there of the opposition, Sharif and Zardari, have called for impeachment of Pervez Musharraf. Is this a serious effort, and where can it go?
Well, I actually think it's a very serious effort. It's a historic moment in the history of Pakistan, and we should watch what's going on in Pakistan very carefully. I wrote recently that this situation, Pakistan, is the country most likely to lead to the next 3M phone call in the White House in the next presidency. There's so many uncertainties there. And I actually think you could see a serious move to remove Musharraf, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger question is, will there be greater instability in a country that has experienced a lot of violence?
Right. Well, Brian, I wish we had more time. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and there are too many things to talk about. We'll check in with you again soon. Brian Katsoulis at the Center for American Progress on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
When gardeners attack. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Higher food prices have more suburban farmers growing their own vegetables, which is a wonderful thing. But there is a dark side. Joyce Wadler wrote a piece for the New York Times a while back about gardeners who have turned murderous, gentle, peace-loving soil huggers who have grown so fed up with raids from woodchucks, hedgehogs, porcupines, and raccoons that they have taken up guns and, in one case, a sledgehammer, since porcupines don't move very fast. This should serve as fair warning because I can testify, as a disappointed harvester of bitten strawberries and nibbled carrots myself, that growing the crop is easy. It's keeping the crop that's hard. And while civilization may have endangered some species, other species have been quietly cheering civilization on because we're their meal ticket. Especially the deer and the raccoons and the crows. My God, the crows. Early in the morning, you can see these crows strutting across the interstate like they owned it. I used to slow down, but not anymore. I know the animals are only following instinct, except the crows. They have an agenda. But then, gardeners have instincts, too. Oh, I go to the movies. I'd like to believe that a rat can be a gourmet chef or that a pig can be friends with a spider. But as food prices climb, you watch. Gardeners with guns will become the new war heroes. Of course, that's not the only weapon that seems to be effective. The article also notes that a radio tuned to an all-night talk show will do an effective job of scaring raccoons away from corn. But I actually think that the raccoons would rather be shot. Now this.
Two words, mechanical aptitude. It's time to increase it. Look, when we stop working with our hands, we'll forget how the world works, how to put things together and invent, replace, and change. Well, I'm pulling the fire alarm. Go to Advanced Auto Parts, where select Prestone fuel additives are only 2 for $10. Mix or match. Offer ends August 30th. And then buy them. And pick up some oil and an oil filter while you're at it. Then drive home, unscrew the cap, and top off your mechanical aptitude. Whatever you're working on, Advanced will help you keep the wheels turning.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic health care approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes into the hour. What do we owe the citizens of Iraq? Remember Colin Powell citing the Pottery Barn rule? You broke it. You bought it. Well, now American leaders want to shift the cost of reconstruction to the Iraqis. That's what we'll talk about this hour. Neil Young wrote a tune about our invasion of Iraq. It's called Shock and Awe. The sun was setting on a photo op. Thank you, Neil. Joining us to talk about how to rebuild Iraq and who should pay for it is Antonia Juhas. Her book a few years ago, The Bush Agenda, Invading the World One Economy at a Time. She has a brand new book due out shortly called The Tyranny of Oil. And she is a fellow at Oil Change International and a visiting scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies. Antonia, good to talk with you today.
Good to talk with you as well. Good evening.
Well, this is a troubling issue, and I find it bizarre that Democrats who voted against the war have been critical of the administration, and I'm singling out Carl Levin of Michigan, now say that because Iraq has generated some oil revenues, that we just want to walk away and leave this broken country for them to fix on their own. And we were talking earlier with Barbara Lee, the congresswoman from Oakland, Antonia, and she shares my feeling that this is simply immoral and is a major shift of responsibility, and I don't believe the Iraqis have either asked for it or agreed to it.
Well, yes, and just to be clear, I mean, as I'm sure your discussion was with Congresswoman Lee, there's two sets of issues. One, of course, is the ending of the U.S. military presence and foreign contractor presence, which we all agree needs to end completely and immediately. The other is looking at the financial obligation that the United States has to Iraq, but even more importantly than that, what's gone wrong and what's needed to fix it. So sort of the nature of the discussion this past week on the Hill, and Senator Levin in particular, I agree, has been particularly egregious in this, is essentially putting blame on the state of Iraq's economy on the current Iraqi government and saying the United States has already spent many billions of dollars on reconstruction. It hasn't worked, so therefore we're going to walk away and we're not going to provide any more money. And what this is specifically about is that there's actually still money in the reconstruction budget that the United States has already budgeted to provide to Iraq, and it looks like the Democrats are trying to I would say, weasel out of providing that money and scapegoat out the Iraqi government as being to blame for everything that's gone wrong in Iraq.
Well, and to date, our efforts to help rebuild that country have been beneath half-assed. We have made sure that most of the money flowed to American-based multinational companies like Bechtel and KBR, and they in turn didn't usually, in general, hire Iraqis to build schools or repair the electrical grid infrastructure. They would sub it out to low-cost individuals from other parts of the world and pocket the difference. Plus, there were security issues. I do understand that. You can't rebuild a school or a pipeline if people are sniping at you. At the same time, we know that a lot of the money that was supposed to go for capital infrastructure was diverted to Blackwater and Khaki and other contractors to try to protect these American-based companies.
Well, there's a number of issues. I think, you know, what we're looking at now is how to move forward, right? So to do that, we do have to look at what's gone wrong up to now. And there were a number of things that went wrong, and these have to do with, you know, the way from the beginning the post-war reconstruction and occupation was handled. And under Paul Bremer, the Coalition Provisional Authority, the U.S. occupation government of Iraq, the very first thing that Bremer did, in addition to the firing of the 500,000 U.S.-Iraqi military personnel, Bremer fired 120,000 of Iraq's bureaucrats, all the people who ran the water systems, the electrical systems, the sewage systems, fired them outright, all of the leading bureaucrats, so that the United States could then put in place its economic agenda in Iraq, which involved, so after the bureaucrats were fired, rewriting all of the laws. The United States also, by the way, privatized out trying to provide a new method of integrating the various ministries in Iraq so that they could talk to each other better. That, among many other privatization contracts, failed miserably, and the system that was in place to connect the ministries was then dismantled, and the failed privatized system didn't work either. And then Bremer, on behalf of the Bush administration, privatized the entire reconstruction, and the United States has spent almost $50 billion on that reconstruction, but that money didn't disappear. As you say, it went to U.S. companies who have that money in their pockets now. They didn't do the job they were hired to do. They did not rebuild Iraq, yet they still got their money. So when we're looking for blame right now, the most important place to look, the most immediate place to look, is those U.S. companies that need to be held to account and need to return all of their misspent funds.
Well, and also there should be some warranties on the bad construction. We've heard these incredible stories of hospitals that were built by American companies where the lighting fixtures in the roof leak sewage. And, you know, that's just one example. We also, KBR is responsible for constructing various showers for American troops where the electricity is not properly wired or grounded. And there have been a number of American soldiers killed while taking showers and others severely injured from electrical shocks. And those are just two examples. And we also know that a boatload of money was skimmed off the top and never actually, you know, reached the people it was intended for.
That's right. We know that at least $8 billion went missing by the Coalition Provisional Authority, and just to make that clear, that's a B, $8 billion
right.
went missing, and that's just what we know about. But in addition, the U.S. Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction said over and over again over the last several years that he predicted a huge problem was going to happen, which was that the U.S. government was spending all of its money on these private companies and wasn't spending a dime on training and making sure that the Iraqis, that there could be a transition between the private companies doing the work, and then the private companies left town when things didn't work out the way they wanted to, and handing over the reconstruction to the Iraqi government and to Iraqi workers. That money and time and investment never happened. so that we saw in a few instances where there were, you know, very expensive, very fancy electrical systems built, no money was put in to make sure, one, that there were transition lines that would connect the new electrical system to the homes they were supposed to help, no training for Iraqi workers, and no investment made to make sure that the systems could run once the companies left. And the U.S. Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction said over and over again, this is going to be a huge problem, and the reconstruction that's already stymied is going to collapse when the U.S. companies are gone and the U.S. government stops putting in money. And that's exactly what's happening now. And then we have to add into this whole calculation, by the way, Iraq is in the middle of a war and a foreign occupation. And the expectation that the government should be running as some sort of, you know, perfect system is ridiculous. Now, that's not to say that I'm sure that this, you know, this is a government that in large respect has been propped up by the U.S. occupation, is not a popular or even legitimately elected government, and we can talk a lot about that. And I'm sure that there is graft, but we have to look at what are the conditions that we turned over the reconstruction in, and what can be done now to ensure that Iraqis get their basic services, which they're not getting now. Mm-hmm. And in no way, there's no formula to me that says that the answer is that the United States is supposed to withdraw the funds that it currently has and turn its back on the responsibility that we hold for the failure of the reconstruction that we've put in place so far. I think the exact opposite is true. We have to provide reparations to the Iraqis. U.S. companies have to return all their misspent money. It needs to go directly to the Iraqis. And, of course, as part of that calculation, we have to end our occupation.
Antonia Juhas is our guest, and she is quoted in an article at truthout.org called Playing Politics with Iraqi Oil Money that was written by my friend and former producer Matt Renner, and you can find that at truthout.org. And, Antonia, in that story, Matt indicates, based on the Government Accountability Office report, that there's about a $29 billion surplus in the Iraqi Treasury, and it's possible that they could roll up an additional $50 billion in calendar 2008. But we don't compare that to any actual costs for repairing the infrastructure and even getting it back to pre-war levels. And we also don't factor in, I don't believe that Iraq has escaped from all of the debts of the Saddam Hussein government. Have those been resolved, do you know?
No, quite a large portion of them have been forgiven, mm-hmm. but another large portion have not, and that's what Iraq owes to Kuwait.
Kuwait is still holding out for reparations for Saddam's invasion there in 1991.
And Saudi Arabia is also holding out for the money that it's owed. There's two sets of issues, I think. One is how to best help the Iraqi government start functioning appropriately. And there is, I think anyone who assumes that we have a good idea of how much money is in the government, how much is in its coffers, how it's spending it, is exaggerating their knowledge. Even the GAO said in their report that they're not sure exactly how much money is being held, for example, in Iraq, in the Central Bank of Iraq, and how much money still remains in U.S. banks under there was a banking system set up right after the occupation began where all of Iraq's money seized from Saddam Hussein and all oil exports were being held in U.S. banks mm-hmm. under the initially the control of the U.S. government, then under the control of a board set up by the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund and other authorities. Now it appears that that account is still active, has potentially about $30 billion in it, and appears to be under the direction and control of the president. There's not a lot that we know about that, except for that there's been a series of executive orders passed by President Bush to ensure that the United States maintains authority over that account.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that the GAO didn't know how much money was in that account and didn't know what portion of Iraq's oil exports were staying in Iraq and what portion was in the United States. We do know for certain, however, that Iraq is making a lot of money from its oil and will continue to do so.
Well, and we've contributed to the high price of world oil. I mean, we're complaining about that, but a big cause is the weak dollar, and a second cause is the crisis pricing because of our bellicose activities.
Yes, and yes, certainly. I think oil pricing is yet another issue. I actually am among those who believe that the largest determinant for the drive up in the price of oil is deregulation and oil speculation, and, mm-hmm. and that includes speculation by traders that work for big oil.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think less of it has to do with the invasion of Iraq, because actually at this point Iraq is exporting more oil than it was before the invasion.
Mm-hmm. And that's a recent development. That's this year.
Yeah, this year. But essentially Iraq's been producing at just about or just barely below pre-war levels since the invasion. That's mm-hmm. been a high focus of the United States, and it's also been a high focus of the Iraqis. And
all right. Antoni, I need to take a break, and we'll continue in a moment. We'll go to the phones after the break at 888-5. Peter B., if you have a question or comment, should Iraq pay for its own reconstruction? Do you agree with Senator Levin and Senator Warner and the New York Times Friday editorial? I'd like to hear from you at 888-5-PETER-B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Major problem right now, 152 east of Lover's Lane in Gilroy. CHP has issued a special alert. The roadway has been closed. Big rig went off the roadway. At one point, just the trailer blocking the eastbound lanes. It looks like CHP has shut down the roadway so they can recover the vehicle. Some traffic being diverted onto 156. Expect delays. Avoid 152 for the time being. Salinas Spence Road at Old Stage Road. We have an injury crash being cleared off to the side. Gonzales, Johnson Canyon Road at Iverson Road. An accident with a four-wheel quad sort of vehicle off to the side. It was overturned. It looks like CHP taking care of that. And this is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. Toyota owners, with the high cost of gas, it makes more sense than ever to keep your Toyota properly tuned to factory specs by trusting your Toyota to your genuine Toyota service center. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. A shout out to our weekend listeners in Seattle, Portland, and Missoula, Montana. You can check in by email. It's peter@peterbcollins.com. Midnight Oil playing us in. We're talking about oil. Antonia Juhas is a fellow at Oil Change International, their website, priceofoil.org, and also a scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies. We're talking about the politics of Washington trying to now shift responsibility for reconstruction of Iraq to the Iraqis. And Eva joins us from San Francisco. Thanks for calling, Eva.
Hi, Mr. Collins. This is Eva Hart.
Hi, Eva.
And I used to be in the Army. To answer your question, no. I think that we need to care for the Americans. The Iraqis got enough money as it is. But let me tell you why I say that.
Okay.
From the National Coalition for the Homeless, April 5 report, Terry Messman states, nationalhomeless.org website, he states in the last 4 years, there has been 130 murders. Crimes range from beheadings to drownings to brutal stabbings against the poor. And, of course, job seekers, American job seekers, are down and out, too. And let me say this. The TV media, radio talk show hosts, not you, Mr. Collins, politicians with bigotry have influenced and pressured more young to commit these brutal crimes. So we need to obey the First Amendment to the Constitution, present our American grievances. And it's a government of all Americans. Mr. Collins, may I say two more things?
Yeah, but let me just comment, Eva, that
sure.
I don't think it's a zero-sum game. And unfortunately, even if we shaft the Iraqis and walk away without rebuilding their country, there's little sentiment in this country to deal with domestic issues like universal health care, like homelessness, like the crime that affects working people and those who you know, fall below that in the economic ladder. And so I don't think it's an either-or, and I don't think that by walking away from the damage we've done to Iraq, that we help our own citizens in any way, shape, or form. And let me get a comment. Hold on. Let me get a comment from Antonia. Go ahead.
Yeah, Eva, I also very much agree with your assessment that we need to significantly increase public funding in the United States for issues such as homelessness and job training. And I actually think that the stage that we're at in Iraq is basically trying to figure out what went wrong so that we can help make it work better now. It's not a question of do we need to spend at this moment billions of dollars rebuilding Iraq. It's what do we need to do to make the situation right. And the first thing we need to do is end the occupation, which, among other things, would save the United States ultimately trillions of dollars if
right.
we weren't occupying Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing we need to do is to hold U.S. corporations to account, raise the money from them first that needs to go into Iraq to help Iraq with its reconstruction, and get the money from that resource, which is doing quite well at the moment. And then three, after all that's done, look at the issue of reparations and look at the issue of what we owe Iraq. And those are three different steps. And certainly not the first of which is sending, you know, billions of more money into Iraq.
So, Eva, I promised you one more, and I do want to go to another call with limited time here, but please make another comment.
Okay, right. And also from the National Coalition for the Homeless website, the Feeding Intolerance Myth, it states that in many cities there's not enough facilities of soup kitchens to feed people 3 times a day per week. And food pantries are scarce. Shelters are scarce.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible out there. We need to care for Americans first. Then we help other countries.
Okay, but we've already made some real boneheaded moves in Iraq, and I believe we have responsibilities. And I don't shirk the responsibility to our own citizens at all, Eva, but I don't think, again, that we can walk away from what we've done in Iraq, and I also don't think those resources will be re-diverted to the places you'd like to see them go. Thank you very much. Now to Terry in Monterey. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter B., I was a contracting officer with some degree of perspective from the Pentagon and elsewhere with the U.S. government. I'm very interested if Antonia can tell me how much of the $12 billion we're spending per month is going to contractors and how much for troops, or is that all reconstruction?
Well, the $12 billion is the overall cost budgeted through these supplemental funding bills. And it is, I have to say, wrapped together in a way that makes it hard to take the pieces out. But there has been a separate capital budget for reconstruction, and that's in the range of about $50 billion, right, Antonia?
Well, that's
over time.
Multi-year, clearly.
Yes, over time.
Yeah,
there are 250 U.S. companies partaking in that trough in Iraq, and they're going to be having adequate profits, if she'd agree with me, to continue to corrupt and bribe the U.S. Congress, as well as whatever White House, perhaps, to continue that funding. I don't know that we can get away from the bribery and corruption that's already in place. And last, I'll say, if this was the only god-awful mess made by George Bush and Dick Cheney, it would be bad enough. But the woman who's concerned about domestic spending, she's right. I mean, they've ruined other things domestically.
Yeah.
Coming back to the focus of your
real quick, Terry.
I'm very impressed with your knowledge and perspective. What are your proposals for the solutions to the three things you identified? And regarding reparations,
okay, stop
the
there.
Hell do we begin?
Stop there, Terry. 20 seconds. Go ahead, Antonia.
Well, poisoned.
Go ahead, Antonia.
All right. Well, with 20 seconds, let me tell folks to please visit my website, which is tyrannyofoil.org. That's the title of my new book. I go into all of this in detail in my last book, The Bush Agenda.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I would say is that there's only a little bit of money left in the U.S. reconstruction budget.
Stop there. Antonia Juhas, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Former presidential candidate John Edwards now confirms the tabloid stories that he had an affair. Edwards admits that what he calls a liaison with a woman who worked for his campaign. In a November 2007 interview, Edwards told CBS News correspondent Katie Couric that marital fidelity was very important.
For a lot of Americans, including the family that I grew up with, I mean, it's fundamental to how you judge people and human character. Whether you keep your word, whether you keep what is your ultimate word, which is that you love your spouse and you'll stay with them.
CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Bob Schieffer has spoken with Edwards by phone.
He said that all this happened back in 2006 before he announced that he was running for president, and he told his wife Elizabeth, he said, about it then, and that she forgave him. He said because of that, he thought it was just between men.
The woman, 42-year-old Riel Hunter, had a baby in February. Edwards denies being the father and says he wants to take a paternity test. An international crisis. Russian forces have invaded Georgia's breakaway region of South Ossetia, attempting to assert their control over that disputed territory. The Georgian Interior Ministry says there have been airstrikes on three military bases and key shipping facilities. At the UN Security Council, U.S. Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad demanded a ceasefire.
We call on Russia to cease attacks on Georgia by aircraft and missiles. Respect Georgia's territorial integrity and withdraw its ground combat forces from Georgian soil.
The United States and European countries are trying to start a mediation effort. President Bush at the Olympics in Beijing is getting regular briefings, and he's discussed the situation with Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin. The price of crude oil took another sharp drop today, down nearly $5 to $115.20 a barrel. That gave the stock market a boost. The Dow jumped 302 points. Eugene Peroni of Advisors Asset Management thinks the market's starting to climb out of its slump.
Seems that the financials are digging in, finding a comfort zone, so to speak, certainly absorbing some of the most recent bad news quite well. So that's given investors some hope that maybe at least for now a lot of the bad news is baked in.
Today's bad news included Fannie Mae's $2.3 billion quarterly loss, three times what Wall Street was expecting. No one will ever forget Catalina Rose Churguin's birthday. Her dad, John, says she was born this morning at Holy Cross Hospital in Fort Lauderdale at a very auspicious moment.
As the clock struck 8:08, there she came. So it was a legitimate 8:08, and they couldn't have planned it any better.
In Fergus Falls, Minnesota, Haley Jo Hauer was also born at 8:08 on 8:08, and she weighed 8 pounds 8 ounces. This is CBS News.
Hi, we're Shadaisy. Now, being on tour is great, but after 23 days, we can't wait to get home.
And to our own Sleep Number beds. The tougher your days, the more you deserve a Sleep Number night. It's the only bed that lets you adjust your Sleep Number setting at the touch of a button. A higher Sleep Number setting for more firmness, a lower number for softer support. And since every day is different, you can always find your perfect Sleep Number anytime. Because the most comfortable sleep is the one you control yourself. The difference a Sleep Number bed makes every night. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com to find any one of our 450 stores. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts. Enjoy cool summer savings on all Sleep Number beds. Twin mattresses start at only $449. Hurry in. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com today for a store near you.
With the recent salmonella outbreak as a backdrop, the people who grow and sell fruit and vegetables are embracing new safety standards and more government oversight. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
The fresh produce industry wants new regulations to reflect the nature and reality of their business.
Produce is a very particular, strange animal. So food safety regulation needs to reflect that.
Julia Stewart is with the Produce Marketing Association, which proposes the same rules for foreign and domestic produce and regulations that deal with the riskiest crops first. Stewart says Congress has been slow to act, but the industry is being proactive.
Food safety has to be a priority every day, day in, day out. So we are already taking a lot of steps to regulate ourselves.
Peter King, CBS News.
After reports of 9 people getting sick, Whole Foods Market is recalling fresh ground beef sold between June 2nd and August 6th that came from a Nebraska plant linked to a recent E. coli outbreak. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
How to swim in money. Step 1. Go directly to the Home Depot. Now through August 20th and get 10% off all appliances of $399 or more, including an Energy Star qualified washing machine. Step 2. Wash your clothes. Not only will you smell better, you'll cut energy costs up to $80 a year and save enough water to fill 3 swimming pools. Step 3. Do a cannonball to celebrate.
The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more? Let the IRS veterans at Effector help stop levies and wage garnishment. We can help you get your life back in order. Our ex-IRS agents have over 100 years combined experience in IRS collection tactics. Get a free consultation and put our team of experts between you and the IRS. Call 800-536-9092. That's 800-536-9092. 800-536-9092.
Live from the Left Coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Six minutes into the hour. Thanks for tuning in to the Peter B. Collins Show. And if you grab the podcast and listen on your personal earbuds, why, thank you. And I want to thank all the people. It's a growing list who are underwriting our trip to Denver, Colorado, and our coverage of the Democratic National Convention. You can help. There's a link on my homepage right at the top. It says, you can help.
I feel so extraordinary. I used to make
music of the moment from New Order. It's called True Faith. And if you ever saw the video of this, it was a classic. It was the first time I'd seen a hand slapping a face used as a rhythmic instrument. But no humans were injured in the filming of that video.
When I was very small boy, very small boy.
Hey, it's time to talk election integrity here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Every week at this time, we check in with Brad Friedman at bradblog.com, the citizen journalist and editor-in-chief of the blog. Hello, Brad. How you doing?
You forgot Chief Bottle Washer.
Yeah, Chief Cook and Bottle Washer. I thought I'd just pump you up today and not, none of those leveling adjectives.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing better than John Edwards, and I just want you to know that my tire pressure is right up to the suggested level.
Oh, I'm delighted to hear that, and no doubt you've got Olympic fever.
No.
No, not so much?
No. I'll watch a little bit of it, but we talked to a great guy, Jonathan Zimmerman, the other day, and he advised us all just to, limit our viewing or maybe just watch something else as a way of sending a signal both to NBC that paid $900 million to suck up to the Chinese government and get the Olympic rights, and just that general sense of, we don't want to promote a police state country as it continues to lock people up and try to preserve their security during this this very important time for them.
Sounds like a fine idea to me. I will limit my viewing indeed.
So, Brad, I just wanted, because you're right there in Hollywood where John Edwards had an altercation about 2 weeks ago with paparazzi who cornered him at a Beverly Hills hotel where he was visiting the woman he now admits he had an affair with. And I don't know about you, but I actually, I looked at the Huffington Post coverage of that and I said, well, good for them. But I kind of decided just to pass on it until it rose above the tabloid level. How long have you been aware of the philandering former presidential candidate? And what was your take on, to report or not to report?
Actually, this is the first I had heard about it. I heard about the allegations previously, but I guess, the confirm came today. I got it when everybody else did. Actually, I got it from an editor of mine who I'm now I'll now be contributing to the Guardian UK.
Oh, really?
Next week.
Oh, great! That's where the truth lives.
I couldn't find anybody to write here, write for out here in this country who believed in the truth, so I had to go to the UK to do it, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And actually, he had mentioned to me in an email that Edwards had just admitted to this or that. And that's when I heard about it, so really within the last hour or two. I know nothing about it, although my first impression was, okay, and I should care about this. Why, exactly?
Well, mainly because he lied about it. That's the sad part.
Well, he lied about it, but he's also, as far as I know, not running for anything. I don't suspect he's in contention for vice president, certainly after that.
No.
So... I guess that's unfortunate, but...
Well, the other issue is that he paid this woman from campaign funds, and she reportedly, made a couple of videos that were not really used. And so there are questions here about the way he handled it. And when he was a candidate, these issues were raised. The National Enquirer has been on it for a while. And he denied everything.
Yeah.
And David Bonnier, former great progressive congressman from Michigan, who served as campaign manager for the Edwards campaign in the primary, expressed his deep disappointment with Edwards for following the pattern of being a guy who felt that he could lie about things like this and get away with it. And it's disappointing to me because I guess it explains why Edwards withdrew from the race. I was going to say pulled out, but people think that's double entendre. Right before the California primary, you and I took calls that week from people who had mailed in absentee ballots, even some people who had made online contributions to him just the night before.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll tell you, I saw a movie last week that it was, I believe, from... 99 or 2000. It was called The Contender with Joan Allen. Have you ever seen this film?
I have not. And I like Joan Allen. She's a great actress.
Yeah, and it actually reminded me, I really enjoyed the film, and it's about a woman who, is being nominated to be vice president. Actually, the vice president dies, and she's going to take his place. She's named by the president. She's got to face congressional hearings, confirmation hearings, and they come out with this information that she was involved in a film, actually a gangbang, if I can say that, from her college days.
Well, you know, I have to retract my statement. I have seen that now that you mention it. It was pretty interesting.
it was actually really interesting because she refuses to talk about it in any way, and I won't give away the ending, but you know, she, in her confirmation hearings, she just won't answer it one way or another, and it was really a fun film, and it reminded me how much I used to enjoy films like that, and frankly, how much I used to enjoy politics until these jerks over the last 8 years, and jerks is a kind way to put it, you know, have taken what used to be the fun political games and turned it into a life and death situation that I can't even enjoy that sort of thing anymore. So when I hear about this John Edwards thing, and this, you know, notion, did he have an affair or not? You know, I'm reminded of the nonsense from the Clinton era that helped us get into this mess we're in now. And I just don't care about someone's private life, what they do in their sexual life, unless it has something to do with, you know, for example, when you've got these Republicans, these closeted gay conservatives who are out there denying rights to homosexuals, and it turns out they're actually gay. That's hypocrisy. That needs to be that needs to be reported on. And you know our friend Mike Rogers over at Page One Q, who's outed a lot of these guys like Larry Craig and so forth. He's got a number of folks who are, you know, that he knows are gay, but he has not revealed that because they don't have anything particularly hypocritical in their, you know, their public life that would require the revealing of this information. I guess I feel somewhat the same way here. If Edwards lied about it, yes, lying is bad, but it raises the question, why are you even asking him those questions in the first place? That's my initial take, for whatever that's worth.
Understood, yeah. For my case, as I mentioned, I you know, heard the tabloid charges and just ignored them and heard the denials that Edwards made during the campaign. And it really was this bizarre incident. Apparently reportedly visiting this woman, the photographers cornered him, he runs into a bathroom and slams the door and is holed up there until a security guard can come and rescue him. And it, you know, it's deeply embarrassing, and for some reason it stayed below the mainstream media radar for a couple of weeks. I knew it would surface, and frankly it's better now than in the heat of the fall campaign when, you know, who knows how it could be used against the Democrats. And I don't pretend to judge Mr. Edwards for his private behavior. It is just that there's this pattern that's very obvious, that when political leaders get caught with a hooker or with a paramour and then deny it, they make the problem much worse. And we have examples of, I mean, Kwame Kilpatrick, you know, for God's sake, is behind bars in Detroit today because he's trying to pretend that while the evidence is overwhelming that, oh, you know, he didn't have sex with that woman, his chief of staff. And I just think that we've got to stop playing games with this. And San Francisco's Willie Brown, you know, fathered a child through a fundraiser while he was mayor. And he, when he was asked about it, he said, yes, it's true, and anything else is none of your business. And it was a one-day story.
Well, you know, but that's exactly it. Well, he admitted it. On the other hand, though, and as I had mentioned that film, The Contender, Joan Allen just simply would not answer the question one way or another. And I don't know. I guess it's an eight-year-old movie. I can sort of give it away. But she didn't do it. And she could have, you know, saved herself had she admitted that in these hearings. But she refused to do it because she didn't believe it had any place in, you know, in this particular arena. I happen to agree, unless, you know, it has something to do with their public policies, we've got to get beyond this this nonsense in this country where we're trying to figure out who has had an affair with who. I just think it's a waste of tax dollars and money and time, and the way it would hurt a Democrat, as you suggest, had it come up in the fall, It's the same way this Obama, the tire gauge nonsense it would have. The media cycle would have been round the clock on that, taking away from the things that actually matter in this campaign.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with Brad Friedman. He's here this entire hour. Your phone calls are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Breaking news at Brad Log, a voter arrested trying to vote legally in Missouri. We'll get the details. And Clint Curtis, the whistleblower in Florida, has a really tough congressional election campaign underway, complete with Rovian dirty tricks. We'll talk about that and more as we continue with Brad Friedman here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Ride the wave. Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th. Buy your tickets online and save big. MontereyCountyFair.com.
The staff and management of Natura Vita welcome all to the new Natura Vita store and restaurant at 650 East Laurel Drive in North Salinas. Learn firsthand about traditional and modern natural health products and practices while enjoying delicious and healthy food in a fun, clean, and family-friendly atmosphere. Smoothies, anyone? Come to the new Natura Vita store and restaurant, conveniently located at 650 East Laurel Drive in North Salinas.
Checking traffic on KRXA, starting with some good news this time. We had a major problem in Gilroy, 152 east of Lover's Lane. Big rig went off the roadway. They had to shut down the entire roadway to get that back up into the lanes. Everything open now. There will be delays, but at least you can get through the area. Holzclaw Road at 152, we have a two-car crash just coming in. 7th Avenue, Soquel Avenue, an accident with a couple of cars. Looks like they're pulling into a nearby gas station. Salinas, North 101 before Main Street, a couple of cars involved in just a fender bender. They're both off to the side. And Spence Road at Old Stage Road, an older crash with a couple of cars that may still have lanes blocked, although emergency crews are on the scene. This is brought to you by JCPenney. Hurry into the men's store inside JCPenney for a fresh start. Men's jockey underwear and gold toe socks, or buy one package, get the second 50% off. JCPenney. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Mm-hmm.
continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And Dave in Eureka, first up on the phones this afternoon. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Peter. I'm out here with the Red for Peace, if you hear horns again. But I agree with Brad completely about the Edwards private life, nobody's business. But if we don't do something about rigged elections, what the hell else is there? We've just so critical. One more rigged election is going to be the end of this country, I think.
Well, and that's really the point here, is about keeping our eyes on the things that actually matter. I guess I just don't see how the Edwards stuff matters. Yes, he lied. Yes, that's not good. But why the hell is this germane to anybody's campaign anyway, whether it was during the campaign or now, especially now for that matter?
Oh, Dave dropped. Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate your comment. Cindy Sheehan joins us now from San Francisco with some very good news from her campaign. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Peter.
How are you doing today?
Good. Is Brad on the line, too?
I am. Hey, Cindy. How are you?
Hey, Brad. It's nice to talk to you.
And to
what
you.
What a surprise. This is very awesome.
Now, there's some interesting breaking news from the Sheehan campaign. Tell us.
We just, at 1:16 this afternoon, we heard from the Department of Elections that I qualified for the ballot.
All right.
So we had some scary times over the week. The Department of Elections kept on invalidating more and more of our signatures, but we stayed on top of them. We stayed on top of it, and we mobilized dozens of volunteers to help us get signatures, and we're having a celebration at the campaign headquarters right now.
And why were so, what's a high percentage of your signatures were rejected? What was the reason given by the election division?
You know, we haven't gotten a report yet of the ones that they rejected, but one group, they said that 120 people weren't registered to vote. So, you know, all we can do is ask people if they're registered. If they say yes and sign the petition, you know, there's not much else we can do. But we needed 10,198, and we collected almost 20,000 signatures.
Mm.
So to me, that's like 20,000 votes and halfway to getting half the vote already, and we're just so excited to go on to the next part of the campaign, which is just really campaigning and getting our message out. We've been working on signatures for over 3 months now.
And, you know, Nancy Pelosi's on a book tour right now. Any chance that she'll debate you before November?
Well, we are definitely going to request that. There is a Republican running, and there is a Libertarian running, and we want to have, you know, let the people of San Francisco have a chance to hear all of our positions and have Nancy Pelosi defend her policies or her, you know, lack thereof policies. So we're very, we're going to be very persistent about having an open forum debate here face-to-face. And I think that I'm very excited about it, and, you know, I hope it happens.
Brad?
Yeah, congratulations, Cindy, getting on the ballot. That's great. I would, you know, Pelosi and Reid need to step down as far as I'm concerned at this point. I'd love to see you win out there. I know you got a tough road ahead of you, but, you know, I know the type of voting systems they use up there in San Francisco. So I'll see what I can do for you from down here, even though I'm not a San Francisco voter.
I could barely hear Brad. I think I heard him, and in California, we're not as in much dire straits as the rest of the nation. We do have a really great Secretary of State who was elected on cleaning up the voting system. So we're very confident that it's going to be a transparent system, and we're going to have poll watchers on Election Day. We're going to have lawyers ready to make sure nobody is disenfranchised and make sure there's no election hanky-panky. And I think it's going to I appreciate your help, and I think that's – and I appreciate what Brad has done in election protection. He's been very great on that issue, and that's something that we all need to work on, like your previous caller said.
Mm-hmm.
We can't afford to have any more questionable elections in this country. The stakes are too high.
All I ask, Cindy, is that you don't concede or declare victory until every vote is actually counted, and I'll be happy to help you do that come November.
Brad, do you know me?
Yes, I do.
There's any chance of that happening? No, we're going to fight for the people, and we're going to run a great campaign that's all issues-based, because that's the only thing that's important, is the issues and the environment, the economy, the wars, the lack of accountability, the corporate control of our so-called two-party system.
And don't forget my Fourth Amendment rights, Cindy.
Absolutely. That week that Congress did that, we got tens of thousands of donations. People are so upset with Congress's just caving into the Bush administration.
Yeah, it is unforgivable, and it's hardly a
absolutely.
Trivial matter. These are really critical issues where the Democrats have traded away our constitutional rights for buckus. And the anger against Pelosi has really been building among my listeners, Cindy. There's a
absolutely.
Lot of sentiment supporting you.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you again.
All right, thanks, and congratulations. You're on the ballot. People Power Works.
Yay, we are. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We'll continue with Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com in just a moment. Your calls welcome at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there. And who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes into the hour. Brad Friedman with us from bradblog.com. Your calls are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. Got some Bowie music for Josh.
Still don't know what I was waiting for. And my time was running wild and dead in streets. And every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned.
Yes, our assistant producer, Joshua Emerson Smith, is leaving the Peter B. Collins Show after 7 or 8 grueling weeks here. And this is really crazy, but he's going to Alaska. He's running away to Valdez, where in September he'll start as a reporter at public radio station KCHU. It's just like a sneeze. Ka-choo. Maybe they don't say it that way, but that's how it sounds to me. And I want to thank Josh for excellent service here. We wish him all the best and hope he'll become our exclusive Alaska correspondent. Brad, do you need an Alaska correspondent?
I do indeed. I can always use one. I think it's going to be an interesting election in Alaska, yes.
Yeah, with Ted Stevens, neck on the block.
That's right.
And Don Young, the congressman up there, he's got ethics problems too. So.
And it's been a very dirty state in the past. You remember the roller coaster ride trying to get information from the Diebold databases up there in Alaska over the last couple of years?
Mm-hmm. I do remember that.
Yeah, that's right. And they declared that it was a national security risk if they released that information to the Democratic Party who had sued to get them.
Mm-hmm. So, Josh, you got your work cut out for you. Good luck there. And Nick Tanham joins us to take Josh's place. And he's taking your calls today, so be nice to him when you dial in at 888-5-PETER-B. And I've got a DVD of Uncounted for any first-time callers to the Peter B. Collins Show today. Uncounted, of course, produced by David Earnhardt, The New Math of American Elections, and Brad Friedman's featured in there. If you want to see him on camera, that's your opportunity. We're going to go to Denver now, where Mary is on the line. Mary, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Mary.
Yeah, connection sounds lousy from here. Do I sound okay there?
Yeah, you're coming through okay.
Yeah. I was going to try to cheer you up after the Edwards thing, but it sounds like Cindy already did that. So, but I wanted to let you know that I suspect that your message is somehow trickling down. I went to do early voting yesterday. We have a state and local primary officially next Tuesday here in Colorado, and early voting was Wednesday, Thursday, and today. I went at 4 p.m. yesterday and went through the photo ID stuff and asked the little old lady sitting at the Dell laptop if I could vote on paper, and she said, why, of course. In fact, in 2 days, only one person has chosen to vote on the Sequoia machines.
Wow. That's
everybody else is asking for paper.
Now, Brad, didn't Denver have a central tabulator problem in the last cycle?
Yeah.
Well, actually, what they had was a huge meltdown in 2006 when the e-poll books that they had put in place to register folks completely malfunctioned, sending out lines around the block for hours, and they had a complete disaster there. And, of course, they've got a Secretary of State outgoing, I believe, Mike Kaufman, who examined all of the voting machines because he was ordered to by a judge, found that they were all hackable, tried to decertify them, and then suddenly changed his mind, and I guess people get to use them again for some reason in Colorado.
Yeah, well, the Denver elections chief also got sacked, and we've got somebody new. They still have those electronic poll books on the laptops there.
Well, we'll see if they work this time, because clearly the companies, and we're going to see this more in November, the companies who are putting out these e-poll books, much as with the voting machines themselves, are using the voters as beta testers in live elections. And we've seen meltdown after meltdown. We saw it in Georgia with Diebold's new e-poll books. And so, boy, I hope people actually get to cast their vote this year in Colorado.
Hey, Mary, we're coming your way. Are you ready for us?
Yeah, I can pull out a box of Shiraz if you want.
You have
I'm right near the light rail.
You have Shiraz in a box?
Yes. It's a recycled box.
I thought Shiraz only came in bottles. I didn't know anybody was boxing it.
I found it. It's from California.
Okay, great. Well,
I don't even know what Shiraz are, but...
It's a wine. Shiraz.
Oh, okay, well, because I was going to say, I think it looks like we'll be heading out also to the convention in Denver, and I don't know what Shiraz is, but I want that. So.
Well, you will like it. It's the Syrah grape, and Shiraz is kind of popularized by the Aussies.
The history of Shiraz, it was originally Persian.
I didn't know that.
And then a couple centuries ago when they banned alcohol, a bunch of Persians took it to Australia to plant it.
Oh. Well, see, you drink enough of that stuff, you learn the history.
Yeah.
All right, Mary. Well, we're going to party down in Denver, and we hope it's a good one at the end of the month.
I think it will be.
All right. Thanks for checking in today. Now, Brad, she talked about voting and using ID and that sort of thing. And one of the big stories you have this week at BradBlog comes out of Kansas City, where somebody went to vote and vote legally, and yet they were rebuffed. Explain.
Well, that's right. Remember now, Missouri is ground zero for this whole Republican voter fraud scam and this photo ID stuff. It's the home of Thor Hearn, Bush Rove's top voter fraud, what do we call him, operative. He lives out there in Missouri.
American Center for Voters' Rights, is that the...
American Center for Voting Rights. They're now gone, of course, because I outed them, and after a few years of pounding on them and being found at the center of this U.S. attorney scandal, trying to force some of these U.S. attorneys to bring phony voter fraud charges against Democrats, they finally slithered back under their rock a little bit. But they're still at work, and Missouri in particular is going to be a very important state this November. It's always right on the edge between Republican and Democratic. And a lot of funny business going on where voters are going in to vote. They had state primary on Tuesday, and voters were illegally asked in many cases for photo ID, driver's licenses, signature IDs, when in fact the photo ID restriction law that had been put in place a couple of years ago in 2006 was found unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. Well, Phil Lindsay, a fellow who is an election integrity advocate from showmethevote.org, went to vote on Tuesday and was asked for ID, and he presented a precinct-based voter ID card that was, you know, mailed to him by the election board. And, in fact, before he went in to vote, he even called the board to make sure that that would be suitable ID. However, when he got there, he tried to vote. He pulled out the voter ID card. The poll workers told him that would not suffice. He then pulled out a bank statement with his address on it. He was told that would not suffice. He then pulled out the actual law from the Secretary of State's website showing them that these should suffice. Nonetheless, the police were called, and Phil was arrested for trying to vote legally, essentially, at his precinct in Kansas City.
And you have the lingo here of the citation that he did knowingly cause a disturbance slash disorderly conduct, to wit, acts in a violent or tumultuous manner toward another, placing such persons in fear of safety, by refusing to show proper ID when voting. I mean, the first part of that sounds like he committed assault.
Well, that's right. Now, there have been reports. Well, actually, before I tell you what the reports are, note in that citation it says refusing to show proper ID when voting. He showed perfectly proper ID when voting, and I've confirmed that with the Secretary of State's office in Missouri. Actually, he showed two perfectly proper IDs, the bank statement and that voter ID card that was sent to his house. Now, there's been reports, the local Fox News affiliate said he was banging on a table. And the Republican election director of Eastern Jackson County, Missouri, says that he was frightening the poll workers, that he was yelling, that they feared he would pull a gun on them. Now, I have some serious doubts about both that election director, Charlene Davis, and the comments she made. She was not at the precinct. Later, after he was released from jail, he went into the election office. She offered him the opportunity to vote on a ballot right then and there at the office for some reason. She said it wouldn't be a provisional ballot, which brings up an interesting point as far as how it is she's able to just give out ballots for any precinct willy-nilly from right there.
Well, that's because they already counted the votes and knew what the outcome was.
They already know what the results are going to be. Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. But it's a remarkable story. The same thing actually happened without the arrest to Secretary of State Robin Carnahan back in 2006 when she went to vote, you may recall.
I do.
She was asked for photo ID three times when she went to cast her vote. She kept saying, no, trust me, I'm familiar with the law. I don't need to give you a photo ID. And it was only after three times that I believe a supervisor was called over and they were told that this is the Secretary of State, please let her vote, that she got to vote. My father, who lives in Missouri, had a similar instance, which he wrote about on Brad Blog, and a 2006 report from the Missouri Secretary of State's office lists precinct after precinct where this happened. So make no mistake, this photo ID stuff is going to be a big problem come this November, particularly in Missouri. And I got to give credit to Phil Lindsay for making noise. Whether he pounded on the table or not, frankly, this country is in such a state that we could use more table pounders as far as I'm concerned. I'm not sure that's illegal to do so.
It doesn't seem like it to me. And, Brad, if you know, what is the legal issue here? The Supreme Court ruled in the Indiana photo ID law. Is that precedent setting across all 50 states? Or does the Missouri law, which specifies what kind of ID is appropriate for a voter at a precinct, does that trump the federal standard?
Well, let's see. The Indiana law, the Supreme Court decision, refers only to that Indiana statute, essentially.
Okay. So it was not precedential.
Well, it would be precedential, I suppose, if they had the same law or the same type of law. The Missouri law was a little bit different. It was already found unconstitutional under Missouri state law back in 2006 by the Missouri Supreme Court. So that law is no longer operative, and instead the 40 or so different types of ID that can be presented are listed on the website, and that is what is in operation now. Now, the Republicans out there in Missouri did try at the last second, just before the Congress went out of session, to institute a new law like the Indiana law in Missouri, but enough pressure was brought to bear on those Republicans that finally, as we were watching the state Senate floor there at the last minute at the end of the session, they decided to not bring the bill forward. So as of now, in Missouri, you don't need a driver's license. There's about 40 different ways you can identify yourself. Two of them, Phil Lindsay of ShowMeTheVote.org, had with him and showed to the poll workers, and yet he ended up in jail. So folks got to learn the laws because they're a little bit different in each state. Know your laws, bring your ID, but frankly, don't let folks push you around.
Chris and Salinas, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with his Bradness.
Hi, Brad. How you doing?
Hey, Brad.
Glad to hear you. I don't get to listen to the station as much as I used to on Fridays. But,
oh, is that your... Well, talk to your probation officer and tell him, you know, we want you to be able to listen.
Tom Hartman had Charlene Davis on this morning. I don't know if you heard that interview or not.
I did indeed, yeah.
Yeah, and she's the only thing she seemed to care about was that he was pounding on the table and intimidating the people that were sitting there. And I found that disturbing in the fact that she didn't really care. It didn't seem like she cared that he had the proper ID to vote. And then they also didn't have the what you know the oh.
Go ahead.
I lost my train of thought there, but you know the instructions on what IDs are required. They didn't have it on the table.
I see.
Yet she said that what that was supposed to be on the table.
That's right. And she, completely attacked Phil. As I said, she was not there. I did review that interview with Tom Hartman not long before we came on air here today. I'm going to try to run it at Brad Blog along with Phil's interview with Tom Hartman and some other material hopefully over the weekend or on Monday. But, you know, she was not there, so we don't know. There's more we need to learn about this. But, again, pounding on the table is, I suppose, unfortunate, but when your rights are being under assault, as we have seen throughout the past so many years here in this country, I think we could use a few more table pounders.
Chris, I'm getting some feedback on your line, so if you have another question, dial us back. Maybe we'll get a better connection. We'll talk to you after the break. 12 minutes in front of the hour. We'll continue with Brad Friedman in just a moment. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRFA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, starting with some good news this time. We had a major problem in Gilroy, 152 east of Lover's Lane. Big rig went off the roadway. They had to shut down the entire roadway to get that back up into the lanes. Everything open now. There will be delays, but at least you can get through the area. Holtzclaw Road at 152, we have a two-car crash just coming in. 7th Avenue, Soquel Avenue, an accident with a couple of cars. Looks like they're pulling into a nearby gas station. Salinas North 101 before Main Street, a couple of cars involved, and just a fender bender. They're both off to the side. And Spence Road at Old Stage Road, an older crash with a couple of cars that may still have lanes blocked, although emergency crews are on the scene. This is brought to you by JCPenney. Hurry into the men's store inside JCPenney for a fresh start. Men's jockey underwear and gold toe socks, or buy one package, get the second 50% off. JCPenney. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive and Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
We'll be right back.
for more on the Peter B. Collins Show, if you're listening on the weekend in Seattle, Portland, or Missoula, drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. Let me know what you like and what you don't. Love to hear from you. We continue with Brad Friedman, and be sure to drop in at bradblog.com to get the very latest. And, Brad, before we talk about Clint Curtis, I just want to tip my hat to you because you did excellent investigative work shortly after the announcement of the suicide of Dr. Bruce Ivins, who has been fingered Lee Harvey Oswald style as the lone gunman who wielded the anthrax, and there are many deep questions that remain. The corporate media has done an okay job for it in actually exploring some of the doubts that people have about the FBI investigation, notably target Tom Daschle and others. But you were the one, and I haven't seen anybody else report on this, who called Dr. Ivins' brother and asked him about Ivins' political affiliation. And it does tend to, shall we say, play against the themes offered by the FBI about why he's the one.
This case is really unbelievable. I mean, when you look at the facts, you look at the material that the FBI put out this week, that was, you know, just one of the mountain of questions that have come up about the case and the fact that, you know, he targeted Democrats, and it turns out he was a registered Democrat himself. And that the media didn't even go down that road, didn't bother to find out if this guy had been a Democrat. We called the election board to find out in Frederick, Maryland, and the media just did not seem to put two and two together there. Now, after a lot of pressure from folks in the citizen media, and most notably Glenn Greenwald's reports have been terrific over at Salon, ours, Larissa Alexandrovna's, Marcy Wheeler over at Empty Wheel, it has really put pressure on the rest of the media to double-check what it is they're being fed by the FBI and these unnamed government officials. I'll talk more about that in a column will be published at the Guardian UK on Monday on that case, because it really is remarkable, and it really was the citizen journalists out there who kept that story on track and held a lot of feet to the fire.
I agree. Now, we had hoped to have Clint Curtis join us today. He's the whistleblower from Florida who, as an IT guy, was asked to create software to steal elections, and he's running against the man who asked him to do that. But first, he's got to clear the Democratic primary, and the Pelosi wing has put a competitor in there, a woman named Suzanne Kosmas, and she's engaged in some of these nasty robo calls. And Brad, I just want to tell you that here I've got 6 or 8 phone lines at the studio and office, and every one of them's been ringing all day long with really annoying robocalls. We got to do something about that. But in political campaigns, they carve that out from the do not call list so that politicians are still free to interrupt your dinner or fill up your voicemail with a whole load of crap.
Well, that's right. And actually, in this case, it was not robocall. It was a live human beings, live staffers calling from the Florida Democratic Party campaigning in favor of Kosmas, his primary, Clint Curtis's primary campaign opponent here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, election is August 26th, so he's got to beat her and able to go against Feeney, the man who he says asked him to create vote rigging software. But the Kosmas was hand-chosen by the National Democrats largely because she's a millionaire. She's a former state rep. And Curtis is charged that she's got some ethical issues that are going to make it very difficult for her to call Tom Feeney on the carpet for his. And what they've done is they rented office space from the Florida Democratic Party, who is not supposed to take sides in a Democratic primary.
Right.
So they were using phone lines that turn out to be Florida Democratic Party phone lines, but they had them on caller ID marked as Kosmas for Congress. And Clint has now filed a complaint with the FEC about this. I tried to reach the Kosmas campaign today. They did not call me back. We've got the full story up now at Brad Blog, and Clint Curtis is calling this the worst example of Rovian dirty tricks, these deceptive calls. And, in fact, I called one of the numbers that was identified as Kosmas for Congress today, and it turns out it was answered by the Campaign for Florida of the Florida Democratic Party. So these are deceptive calls. We've got photos of the Cosmos for Congress posters that were all over the Florida Democratic Party offices. Those have now been removed. We've got the before and after photos. So, you know, Curtis gave us a quote, "People are really fed up with the whole Pelosi Democrat in name only thing. I personally have little tolerance for fake Democrats anymore." Then that's what he's called Cosmos. I think Cindy Sheehan can probably relate to that. So if you want a real Democrat in there, someone who's really going to stand up and fight for every single right, it would seem Clint Curtis is more than willing to do that.
Yeah. Well, he's a very interesting guy, and this is another case where the Democratic leadership and the DCCC have big-footed local campaigns by inserting, you know, a well-funded, party-approved candidate. And we saw that in a number of races here in California. Jerry McNerney had to twice face off against a Pelosi ally to finally unseat Richard Pombo over in Modesto. Brad, thank you very much, as always.
Always my pleasure.
All right. Talk to you next week. And in the meantime, check in at bradblog.com. Thanks for listening today. I'm Peter B. Collins. We'll do this again next time, same station.
Keep smiling until then.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. When the National Enquirer first reported his extramarital affair, John Edwards dismissed it.
I don't talk about these tabloids and their tabloid trash is full of lies.
But now Edwards admits a brief liaison in 2006 with a 42-year-old woman named Riel Hunter. She worked for his campaign making videos. In a written statement, the former presidential candidate says he based his denials on the fact that some aspects of the story were not true. Edwards insists he is not the father of Hunter's infant daughter born in February. Late today, Edwards called CBS News chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer.
He said repeatedly that he took full responsibility for this. He told me he was certain the child was not his, that the affair was over long ago. When I asked him how Elizabeth was doing, he said she is just amazing, as she always is. When I asked her how she was doing, she said, "This is really, really tough."
Elizabeth Edwards is being treated for a recurrence of breast cancer. Her husband makes a point of saying that the affair occurred while she was in remission. There's fighting in South Ossetia, the breakaway region of Georgia that's claimed by Russia. Russian forces have invaded, and there have been airstrikes on Georgian ports and military installations. David Womble of World Vision is in Georgia's capital, Tbilisi.
There was supposed to have been a ceasefire between 3 and 6 p.m. this afternoon, local time. Unfortunately, we understand that that ceasefire wasn't observed by any of the parties, and it prohibited many people from evacuating who wanted to.
The Bush administration is working to calm things down. CBS News reporter Charles Wolfson has that.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has issued a statement calling on Russia to withdraw its troops from South Ossetia and respect Georgia's territorial claims over the region. Rice held multiple phone calls with both sides, speaking to Russia's foreign minister and to Georgia's president. and a senior U.S. diplomat will be going to the region to work with European allies in an attempt to de-escalate the rapidly worsening crisis.
Authorities in Sherman, Texas say this morning's bus crash has now claimed 15 lives, with another victim dying.